ജയം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജകാചാര്യ അശോത്രഹിത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയ ചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി ജയം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്രശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാ കൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാംക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗോർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമാമുഷ്പദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈക ബാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവ സുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാനൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥ ജലാ ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ മഹനീകർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹപ്യബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവൈർ വേദൈ സാംഗപദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So yesterday we were saying that we see this world through our vasanas. Whatever we see in this world, it is seen through the vasanas. So that is why the world is different for everyone. And this is precisely the reason why rishis don't accept history. That's the reason for that. Because people who are writing the history, they are seeing the world through their vasanas. And therefore, you cannot say it is a fact. It is the vasanas that you are reading through the history books. So therefore, rishis don't believe in any historical information, what is given to us, it has no value as far as they are concerned. That's the one important thing. Historians doesn't have any value for the, rishis doesn't have any value for the historical things. Reason being that or those people who write the history, they are seeing this thing through their vasanas. So it is not the accurate situation. So therefore that is the problem. So yesterday we saw with Arjuna and Duryodhana on either side, the two different vasanas working. Arjuna's Deviya vasana is working. Devi Sambhati is Devi vasana. It's working. And on Duryodhana's side, Duryodhana's vasanas are working. The Asuri vasana in Duryodhana is working in that way. So Duryodhana is saying, I want to kill everybody, beat everyone, and I want to win the war at any cost, right? And he was not going to compromise on that till the last minute, even when he was going to die. Even at that moment, he is talking about killing the Pandavas and any other injury they can inflict upon them. And he told Ashwatthama to do that. And that's how he sent the Brahmastram and all that. So, so you can see from that the mentality of Arjuna and mentality of Duryodhana. So, Devi Vasana means that, as Krishna said, there are certain things, he said, one should follow in life for all Varnam. No matter who it is, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, he says, essentially the dharma means Ahimsa, Satyam, Asteyam. First three things. Ahimsa, Satyam, Asteyam. Ahimsa, non-violence obviously. Satyam means truthfulness. Asteyam means not to desire others' wealth. Not to desire for others' wealth. Ahimsa, Satyam, Asteyam. Then other three things, agama, krodha, lobhada, kamam, krodham, lobham, which Krishna has spoken in the end of 18th chapter also. Dwaram, nashanam, alpana, he says, isn't it? So, those three things. So, ahimsa, satyam, asteyam, three. Then, akamam, free from desires, freedom from anger, and no greed. Agama, krodha, lobhada. Then finally, Krishna said, bhuta priyahide vacham. Whatever you speak to others, speak in such a way that it is pleasing to others. Not in a rash or in a harsh way to anybody. Buddha prihade vacham. Krishna says, dharmoyam sarva varniya. All people in all varnam, whether Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, must follow this. And that is dharma. Krishna's definition of dharma. That in Kali Yugam, after discussing Brahmana dharmam, Kshatriya dharmam, Vaishya dharmam, Shudra dharmam in the Bhagavadam, finally Krishna says this. After saying the dharma of different varnam, then he says that in Kali Yugam all these things will disappear. All the four varnams will disappear. But whatever it is, everyone should follow these seven things. Ahimsa, Satyam, Asteyam, Akamam, Akrodham, Lobhada, Buddha, Prehade, Vacha, Dharmoyam, Sarvavarniya. So saying that, so the thing is that if we follow dharmam, Krishna is saying that what that will lead into Devi Vasana will develop inside if one follows dharma. This Devi Vasana, Devi Sambhati will develop inside. And if Devi Vasana builds up inside, it will lead into Chitta Shuddhi. And if Chitta Shuddhi develops inside, one will become free from, vasanas will get emptied inside. All the bad vasanas, everything will get emptied inside. And the result of that will be, then bhakti will develop. Otherwise, bhakti won't develop. When all these bad vasanas are inside, it is difficult for bhakti to build it up inside. So, that is what we were saying yesterday. And then, so you can see Asuri vasana and Devi vasana working in both Arjuna and Duryodhana. So, Arjuna is saying, what's the use of having this kingdom? What's the use of all the happiness, what I get from this? What's the point in living, he said. And also he said, if I have to live in this world and if I win the war and if Drona and Bhishma has all gone from this world, then what's the point? So this is how he thought. And he said, if they are all dying and if I won the war, what's the point in living after that? Wealth and pranan, life of them, if I have them, what is the use of that without the friends and the family? So Arjuna said like that. And therefore, I don't need all that and I don't want to kill any of them. And not only that, because they are connected with me in some form as Acharya and Bandhu in this way. Therefore, if I kill them, I will also get a sinful reaction from that. This is all Arjuna's Devi Vasana is saying all these things. Yeah. So, and then he said that I don't need anything else. And due to my greed, if I continue with this fighting, they don't know dharmam. That's why they are coming and fighting. They don't know dharmam. Arjuna is saying, Bhishma, Drona and all the others on the other side, they are not following dharmam. But we know dharmam, and therefore from our side, fighting this war, knowing dharmam is wrong. This is Arjuna's arguments with Krishna. Arjuna is putting forward his arguments with Krishna. Right? If I do fight the war, then what will happen is, he is saying there, that katam tatyayam asmabhi, 39th verse, pavad asman nivartidam, kulakshayakradam dosham, prabashadbhir janardana. He says, our race, kulam, will get destroyed. Whole family will get destroyed. Women will lose their purity. And when the women are destroyed, women lose their purity, the whole society gets destroyed. So this is all Arjuna's logic behind that. Yeah. Then he said, kulakshaye pranashyandi, kuladharma sanadana, dharme nashte kulam krishna, adharma abhibhavatyuda, adharma abhibhaval krishna, pradushyandi kulastriya, strishu dushtasu arshneya, jayade varnasangaya. This is all the logic behind that. If women lose their purity and women lose their chastity, then Varna Sangaram will happen. Mix up of all kinds of people and dharmam will be destroyed. So what you are listening here is what Arjuna knows he is talking. Whatever Arjuna has understood about life, Krishna is keeping quiet, listening to. Arjuna is preaching to Krishna. And Krishna is sitting there. Krishna's beauty is that he can tolerate anybody. Anything you can say to him, he will tolerate. Because there is no angaram inside. Like in the karmam, how he is. He will do any karmam. He washed Duryasa's Lord's feet, all the rishis' feet during the Rajasuyam. He drove the chariot for Arjuna. And also he can be a Jagadguru as well. So all roles Krishna can play without any feeling of hurt. He doesn't feel hurt by doing anything. Doesn't have any pride inside. He's free from that problem. Always acting on a spiritual platform. So when he said that, so Arjuna is telling Krishna everything what he thinks is dharmam. Arjuna is teaching Krishna dharmam, right? So all these things what he has spoken, we shouldn't take it seriously. What Arjuna is saying here, we should not take that seriously, right? Because none of them is proper dharmam based on the shastram. It's not shashvata dharmam, yeah? And whatever he knew, he split it out. Whatever he knew about life and about dharmam, he spoke to Krishna about that, right? He is saying here that he says to Krishna, dharmam will be destroyed. He is worried about dharmam so much. Oh, Arjuna. And later on, in the 11th chapter, there is a verse there where Krishna is addressed as Shashvata Dharma Gopta. You will see a word there. Shashvata Dharma Gopta. Shashvata Dharma Gopta means one who protects the eternal dharmam based on the shastram. One who protects that, Shashvata Dharma Gopta. And then now, at that time, Arjuna says to Krishna that you are the Shashvata Dharma Gopta. But now in the beginning he is saying here that he is talking to Arjuna Krishna about dharmam. Here he is talking about dharmam. But in the 11th chapter when he says to Krishna, you are the Shashvata Dharma Gopta. That means that one who protects Shashvata Dharma, eternal Dharma. So we also, in like Arjuna, right, you are like that. We don't understand what Dharma is. We do Dharma what we think is right. Yeah. So, and Kalam, time, will go its own way. Time will continue on its own way. And you can't stop the time. Time will flow its own way. So, what Arjuna is trying here is, he is trying to turn the kalam, prakriti. Prakriti's flow is based on the time. So this flow of prakriti based on the time, Arjuna is trying to turn it upside down, change it, right? He is trying for that, but that is why he is saying like this. I won't fight, and if I fight, it will cause distress for so many people, and I am breaking the laws of dharma. This is all words coming from Arjuna's mouth without proper understanding, right? So therefore he said, I am not ready to fight. Saying this, Arjuna gave the hand to the chin and sat in the chariot, not willing to fight. Yeah. So then he said that after, then you can see that the rest of the verses all, because they have no meaning. Those verses have no meaning because Arjuna is talking from his understanding. Sangaro naragayiva kulagnanam kulasya cha patandi vidarohyesham lupta vindodaka kriya. This is all Arjuna's logic. Doshairede kulagnanam varna sangaragaragai usadyandi jati dharmam kuladharmascha shashvada. Then finally he said, kulsanna kuladharmanam manushyanam janardana naragai niyadam vaso bhavadi tyanushushrumam. Arjuna is saying that I was going to do a great sin by fighting this war, and because of my desire for the kingdom, I was going to kill all my family members, their relations, all of them, Acharya and Bhishma and all that, and that is the greatest sin I can commit, he said. Therefore, I won't fight. I won't get into this war, he said, and I will remain without getting involved in this. Let them kill me. Let Dhritarashtra's children kill me, he said. Arjuna said, right? It is good for me because, and this is Arjuna's point, right? This is all, what you are noticing here is that this is what is going on inside Arjuna, these thoughts, yeah? And Jiva do not want any resistance in life. It does not like resistance, right? What is the resistance? Resistance is this ahangaram inside. Ahangaram is a resistance, right? And a person who has got a lot of ahangaram, ego inside, he is willing to do any sinful activity in crisis like this. In situations like this now, person who has got strong ahangaram inside, he is willing to do anything he likes, right? He will fight with others. But why all these things were spoken here in the Bhagavad Gita is only for one reason. To show to us how elevated Arjuna is with the divine qualities in him. That is why this crisis inside for him. Duryodhana didn't have any crisis. Arjuna felt so difficult to fight because of his divine nature in him, right? So in order to show to us how elevated Arjuna is, a jiva, Arjuna is a jiva. How elevated jiva Arjuna is to show to us is these verses what Arjuna has spoken here, right? So, basically, war is against dharma. War is against dharma. There is no doubt about that, yeah? And Arjuna thought like that, and Arjuna felt that killing others is adharma. He felt like that. Therefore, Arjuna is saying here, sacrificing dharma and then living in this world is not worthwhile. This is Arjuna's mood here. He's feeling that, what's the point in sacrificing dharma? For what? What do I get from this? And he is offering his whole life for the sake of dharma. And he is trying to say to us that, let Dhritarashtra's children kill me, I don't mind. But I don't want to commit any fight against them. And so this is all Arjuna's mood at the moment. You can see in the next verse, Aho badam mahal pavam kartum vyavasidavayam yad rajyam sukhalobhena handam sajanam udyada. That he said that if I die like this, I will go to higher planets. And I don't want anything here. I'm definitely going to get elevated. Then he said, Yadi mama pradigaram ashastram shastravanaya dhartarashtra ranehanyu tanme kshemadaram bhavet. Saying this, I'm not going to fight. Arjuna said like that. And he left his bow and arrow there, and Shoka Sambhigna Manasa, full of distress inside, not knowing what to do, he sat in the chariot, right? His mind and the body, he felt completely exhausted. And that is Arjuna Vishadam. Arjuna's Vishadam is showing there, right? Because this happened in presence of Krishna, who is going to happen to be the guru of Arjuna later, Sadguru. In his association, this happened. This Vishadam happened. Because it happened in the presence of a guru, that Vishadam has become a yoga. That's why it's called Vishada Yoga. See that? Arjuna Vishada Yogam, it is said. Vishadam is not a yogam. Vishadam is a tamogunam, it is. How did that Vishadam become yogam? Because in presence of Krishna this happened. Who's going to happen to be his guru in future? Jagat Guru, right? So the Vishadam, otherwise, if this has not happened in presence of the guru, that Vishadam can become a vyadhi or a distress in life. Yeah? Therefore, when that is a reason, Vishadam, when it comes, you should not tell others about your Vishadam. You should speak to Krishna. That's a real way of solving the problem. When there is distress inside, you shouldn't go around telling everybody else, I've got all this distress in me, I'm suffering this, that and the other. Vishadam, if it is spoken to Krishna, Vishadam will become a yogam. Vishadam becomes a yogam. And this is spoken in the Brihadaranya Upanishad also, right? In the olden days, rishis performed a lot of penances, tapasya, in the forest, right? And every time any distress comes in life, it is a tapasya for them. For the rishis, distress in life is a tapasya, right? So when distress comes in life, the rishis' method is they speak to Krishna, or they speak to Ramachandra, or they speak to Shiva, whomever they are related to. So, and that is how they acquire that strength to suffer through distress. How did the rishis become so strong inside? By this approach, always taking shelter of Krishna. And always, when they have distress in life, they approach Krishna. In this way, they made their life in such a way that they acquired the strength to suffer through any distress, right? And that distress is tapasya for them. They convert dukkham into tapasya. That's their method. They convert the dukkham into tapasya. What do we do when we have dukkham? We go and tell everyone, or we go to GP, or we go to a psychiatrist, or we go to pub, and this is how we solve our problems. So, Rishi's method is, when they have distress in life, they approach Antaryami, Krishna inside. Yeah. So, if it done like that, Vishadam becomes a yogam, right? And that is what it is required. Vishadam, we have to make it as a, use it as a tapasya in life, right? Shruti says though, so dukkham, distress comes in life, not for the sake of distress, right? And just like when there is a cloud in the sky, lot of cloud in the sky, after some time, cloud gets dissipated into water and the sky becomes clear. And then the darkness goes and the light comes. So similarly, every distress that comes in life, once it goes away, then you will have more peace inside, shanti inside. So you can see here, Arjuna's distress here has become a blessing for everybody else. That is what made Krishna to speak Bhagavad Gita. Because Arjuna's distress has made Krishna to speak Bhagavad Gita, and that has become a blessing for everyone. So just like in the Parikshit Maharaj, distress became a blessing for us in the form of Bhagavadam. Similarly, Arjuna's distress here has become a blessing for us in the form of Bhagavad Gita. You have to see these relationships between all this, right? So, even if we don't worship Krishna, we have to worship the Pandavas for what they have given us, right? Grandfather gave us Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna. And the grandson gave us Bhagavadam. What a glorious dynasty that is. Imagine that. Grandfather gave us Bhagavad Gita. And the grandson gave us Bhagavadam. That is that Pandava family, right? And they are the people who have actually blessed us. And because the grandfather got depressed, Arjuna, we got Bhagavad Gita. And the grandson got distressed, And because of his problems, we got Srimad Bhagavatam, right? Arjuna's Vishadam has become a Yogam. So Krishna, who is Yogeshwara, at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, you know, Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishna, he is Yogeshwara, right? So that Krishna and is going to open up the Paramatma Tattvam or the chest of Paramatma's knowledge, is going to open it in the next chapter, Sankhya Yogam, and which is the whole essence of this Bhagavad Gita, this next chapter, right? So that is how the next chapter begins, second chapter. So basically first chapter is not something very important. Important in the sense that you understand the background where Bhagavad Gita was spoken and Arjuna's situation, what he went through, and Krishna doesn't spoke one word in that chapter, in this first chapter. He didn't speak one word. It's all Dhritarashtra Vaja, Sanjay Vaja, Arjuna Vaja, nothing from Krishna. That is how they are. So, as we said before, that the dharmam necessary and were taking Krishna's shelter and with love and surrender, if you approach Krishna, it develops into nishkama bhakti without any desires, and the chitta shuddhi will happen. When chitta shuddhi happens, tattvajnanam will come from that. So this is a thing what is spoken in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam everywhere. Kapila Maharshi's Kapilam, it is spoken. Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna has spoken. Bhagavad Gita also the same thing. That somehow or the other, chitta shuddhi has to happen. Then tattvajnanam will work. It will come inside, right? So when Srimad Bhagavatam began, at that time also, it mentions there that only one who has chitta shuddhi will experience Krishna. Realization will happen. Only one who has chitta shuddhi, right? You will see that in the second chapter. Evam prasanna manase bhagavil bhakti yogada bhagavil tattva vijnana mukta sangasya jayate. If you go back into the second chapter of the first canto, right? Suta Goswami said that. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavil bhakti yogada bhagavil tattva vijnana mukta sangasya jayate. So, in the same way, in Bhagavad Gita also, later on, he will say in the 11th chapter, in the universal form, Bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yaschasmi tattvada tadomam tattvado jnatuva vishade tadanandaram. Similar verses. What Suta Goswami said to Shaunagrishi is again in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, right? What it means is this, basically, with bhakti, chitta shuddhi will happen, and bhakti in the beginning will always be with the desires. Everybody will have some desires inside, suffering in this world, so one approaches Krishna for that. And that is normal in this world, right? And Krishna has accepted that. He has not rejected that, right? That is why he included that in the list of type of devotees. Artho, jitnyasu, arthati. First category is artha. Artha means one who is suffering in this world. So Krishna has accepted that as part of bhakti, artha. But it is the lowest level, artha. So when we begin bhakti, it will be like that, to get something or so to solve some problems. And or when we have some in our material life, if they have some difficulties, in order to escape from that, first we will go and approach others, looking for some help from others, right? And if we have failed in everywhere, then we will go to Krishna. If it didn't work with others, nobody could help you, nobody came to help, in that situation you will go to take Krishna shelter, right? That is one method. And that is not rejected. It is accepted in the Bhagavad Gita. Artho, jityasu, artharthi, jnani. Four types of devotees. Yeah. So, we have all come like that. We have all come like that, right? All jivas have come through that state. Artha. So, we have executed the bhakti, and jiva is praying for that, to become free from the sufferings. Gradually, he comes, makes some progress in spiritual life when he started understanding things better. That's when desires go away, your bhakti becomes more pure. Yeah. That is a stage where not to acquire anything anymore. You started realizing that approaching Krishna for a happy material life and for getting rid of our problems of life, this is all useless. You start realizing that within yourself, and then your bhakti becomes a little bit pure at that time, right? So, and at the same time, when that happens, you will also start feeling some shelter in the Antaryami, that Krishna is inside with me, and He is always with me, and that is what we spoke about yesterday, avijñāda sakhava. That avijñāda sakhava is that. When at that stage, when you have become free from that desires, asking Krishna for different things, when you have become free from that, and you start realizing Krishna is with me all the time as Antaryami, when that realization is that avijñāda sakhava. Right? So, Krishna is always sakhava, isn't it? And so, you are taking the shelter of that sakhava who is with you. And you will see Vijaya Sakhe Ridhirastu Mein Avadhyā. It is mentioned there. Vijaya Sakhe Ridhirastu Mein Avadhyā. Vijaya Sakhe. Arjuna is taken shelter of his sakhava, who is Krishna. Krishna is a sakhava, and he has taken shelter. And he started saying that you are with me all the time. Arjuna had all these things with him. That Krishna is with me, why should I worry? This feeling in that, right? So, to come to that level, what Arjuna has spoken, Vijaya Sakhere Dhirastu Mena Vadhyā, right? That Krishna is with you all the time, and in order that Krishna to be with you, to get that feeling, what has to be done? And that Krishna has told Uddhava, Niravaksham Vanim Shantam, Nurvairam Samadarshinam, Anuprajamyaham Nityam, Puye Yati Angri Renubhi. That verse in the end. Krishna says to Uddhava, that if you have come to that level, then I am with you all the time. So, initially, Arjuna also had to go through all these stages before he came to this state. So, but at this stage, Arjuna is seeing Krishna as a constant companion with him. And he is coming to that level what he has spoken to Uddhava, right? So, without desiring anything, with a pure heart, simply getting attached to Krishna and realizing that Krishna is present everywhere in the world, He is present in the form of this world in front of me. That means all living entities, what you are dealing with in this world, is all manifestation of Krishna in different forms. That realization, which Krishna has spoken many times. Is it not? Brahmane, Arkes, Pulingage, Akrure, Krure, Jeva, Samadrik, Panditomada. All means what? It means only this thing. Recognizing that Krishna is present in everyone. And able to deal with everybody with that realization behind. Right? So, so if it has come to that, able to travel in this world freely, Krishna said, I will follow that person. Then that verse he says to Uddhava, right? Remember yesterday we spoke about these words, Uddhareda Altmana Altmanam, Altmanam Avasadaya. That's a very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Why? Probably you may not have thought about it enough. Because it comes in the Bhagavad Gita, it comes in the Viveka Chudamani, it comes in the Bhagavadam also. In Bhagavadam, Krishna has spoken in a different way to Uddhava. Nishrido Motrido Vai Bahudeva Pragambida. Shreyaskama Krishnagada Alpana Alpana Mudharel. Same Uddhareda Alpana Alpana in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has told Uddhava like this. Nishtido Mutrido Vai Bahudeva Pragambida Shreyaskama Krishnagada Alpana Alpana Mudharel. And Ajari Swamiji took the same verse from Bhagavad Gita and put it into the Vivek Chudamani also. Why is it important? Why is that verse so important? What Krishna is saying there is that spiritual life is only can start with the jiva. Jiva has to first desire that he wants a spiritual life. In other words, jiva has to develop that strong desire inside to escape from here. That is what that Uddhareda Alpana Alpana, when he said that, that's what it means. Not that after you have desire, then you can ask for Krishna's help. But the jiva has to create that desire inside. He has to analyze it, the Vivekam, Vairagyam has to come to him, and he has to start realizing that I want to escape from this hell, from this world. And if that strong desire has come, that is what Uddharedatman Atmanam means. Because Krishna said later on, Sarvadharman Parityajyam Amekam Sharanam Vraja, which is contradicting to this verse. When you read the meaning of the two verses, one contradicts the other. But it is spoken for two different stages in spiritual life. Uddharedalpana Alpanam is spoken in the beginning. Unless a jiva has a desire to leave the material world, Krishna says, I can't help. Unless a jiva has a desire to leave the material world, material existence in other words. That means to give up the attachment to the body, attachment to this world, attachment to family. All these desires has to leave him first. And then jiva has to do it. Krishna cannot do that, he's saying. That's why he's saying like that. Uddharedal paralpanam. You have to elevate yourself. That means the desire has to be cultivated inside to become free from this bodily identity, from the family, from this different identities, right? So that is what he said then. So a person, then Krishna saying, one who has come, who has cultivated that strong desire inside to free himself from this world, and then he wants to advance further from there, then Krishna takes over. He will give you all the help, what you need. But that initial start, it has to come from jiva's side, not from Krishna's side. It has to come from jiva's side, the initial impetus to get out of this world, that has to come from jiva. It cannot come from Krishna. It has to come from the jiva. So that's what he's saying here. And Krishna said later that when one becomes when he has no desire and he is simply without any desires, without shandam vigraham niravetam munim shandam nurvairam samadarshinam, one who has come to some level in spiritual life, I'll follow him, Krishna says. Anuprajami aham nityam puyayeti angri renubi. So, and Krishna said, I take the dust from that ground where he has walked and I sprinkle it on my head. Krishna says like that, yeah. So, Krishna says he wants to be purified. Krishna is saying this, right? So, Krishna, how much he value a devotee who has no desire, that's what it's saying here, right? And such a devotee is above me, he says. A devotee who has no desire and who is taken my shelter, he is above me, he said. So, that means that person has already taken Krishna's shelter completely. But before that, there is another state, right? And that it, this state, Niravetra Munim Shantam, is a very elevated state. Highly elevated state is this Niravetra Munim Shantam, right? There is another, that state itself is without any desires, right? And at the same time, the another state exists before that. We may have a lot of weaknesses in us. We will have a lot of weaknesses, right? Even though we have all the weaknesses, we will still take Krishna shelter. With all our weaknesses, we will still take Krishna shelter. And just like Arjuna here, he is keeping Krishna as his friend. Arjuna keeping Krishna as his friend all the time. And that's what Arjuna has done. Arjuna has a lot of weaknesses, but he is still keeping Krishna as his friend, right? And so Arjuna's bhakti is like that. And he has developed some purity inside. Chitta Shuddhi has happened to him to some extent, right? And he is holding on to Krishna. He is taking Krishna's shelter, right? Every time when he has some problem, he will ask Krishna. He will consult Krishna at that time, right? And he won't go to anybody else. He will go to Krishna, asking for a solution, right? So, in such a situations, Krishna will also be helpful to Arjuna and give him proper advice, what is required. And he is always with him as a guide in all different difficult situations, right? In other words, at that stage, Krishna will only instruct him only when Arjuna asks for it. This is a stage before the Niravesha Munim Shandam stage. That a jiva takes Krishna's shelter with all his weaknesses. And jiva will have different problems. And Krishna will give help to him only to solve that problem at that moment. Particular problem at particular moment, right? And when he is asking for help, he will give the help, right? And whatever help is required, that's all. At that moment will be given, right? We are all like this, Arjuna's situation, right? Krishna is with us all the time, and He is inside every one of us as Antaryami, and we have to start learning to listening to Him from Antaryami, right? So, what is happening now? Arjuna is keep on talking, and Krishna is keeping on listening to what He is saying. You have to look at that relationship between Krishna and Arjuna. Arjuna is keep on saying things, all his knowledge of the Shastram, and all his lamentation, all his distress. Whatever he thinks is dharmam, he is saying all these things, and Krishna is tolerating all that. He's just tolerating it, right? So in first chapter, Arjuna kept on talking, and therefore Krishna didn't say one word. He kept quiet, right? In second chapter, what do you find? That when Arjuna stopped talking, then Krishna started talking. When Arjuna stopped talking, Krishna started talking, right? So in our life also, if you look like this, that our mind is constantly analyzing the world, analyzing the problems, and is talking to us all the time within us. This is what's going on in every one of us, right? Therefore, we are not able to hear what Antaryami is saying from inside. This is the problem. Then Antaryami wants to help us, but because our mind is so busy with all problems of this world, Chittavritti in other words, with all kinds of thoughts, therefore, even though Antaryami is there to help, he is keeping quiet because of this thing called mind. Yeah. And what is the difference between prayer and meditation? Prayer and meditation, right? When you speak and he listens, it is prayer. When he speaks and you listen, it's meditation. When you are speaking, when he is listening, it is prayer. People always say, you pray for me, I pray for you and all that. This is all coming from that. Isn't it? A lot of people say it to you all the time. People are dying all the time and say, you have to all pray for him. So actually they don't understand this thing. That when you are speaking and he is listening, it's prayer. But when he is speaking and when you are listening, that's meditation, dhyanam. That's when dhyanam comes, right? And we are keeping on talking to him all our, for everyone who is dying, we are praying to him. Help, save, 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 save everybody, right? So at that stage, prayer stage, we are talking to Krishna, right? And after some time, he will start talking to us, right? And when he starts talking to us, that is when Bhagavad Gita begins. Up to that time, it's like Arjuna's first chapter. We keep on saying all our problems and all our knowledge and all our everything. We are keep saying, Arjuna, Krishna, we have to do this, you have to do that for me. I'm in this situation and all that. So that's that first chapter, right? So Bhagavad Gita begins when Krishna starts talking, right? So it is good to study Bhagavad Gita book. But ultimately you have to hear from Antaryami these things. That means Bhagavad Gita you have to hear from Antaryami inside. Only then you can say that Bhagavad Gita is working for us. It is all right to study the books, verses and the commentaries and all that. But you can say that Bhagavad Gita has started working for you is only when Antaryami from inside you are able to listen to him. When you come to that stage, right? So, in this battlefield, Krishna stopped the chariot and Arjuna spoke all what he wanted to say to Krishna. And Arjuna's dharma upadesham. Arjuna is giving advice to Krishna about dharma, which he has done very well in this first chapter, right? And then he said that if I fight this war, I will have the sinful reactions from that. And from that sinful reaction means adharmam, against dharmam. And if adharmam happens, women will get polluted. And due to that, the whole race will be destroyed. Kula Kshayagradam Dosham, Kula Dharma Sanatana, Varna Sangaram, and all he is talking about it, right? 44th verse. So now he's going to go and kill my own people, Swajanam. He's saying, I'm going to kill him, Mahapapam, he said. After all this saying that, Arjuna sat down saying that I'm not going to fight. He said that, right? So this is how the world is. The world is like that. Arjuna is very much involved in karma. He is an expert in his karma, the karma what he does, right? So, so he is a very enthusiastic person, who? Arjuna, right? In other words, he is capable of winning the battle, fighting the war, or whatever he does, he will win at the end. He has got that capacity to do so, right? So, for such a person, if he does not have tattva jnanam, knowledge of the tattvam, right? If he has to stop all the karma, then what will happen to him is that he will be in a very depressed state. A person like Arjuna, who has a lot of enthusiasm to do the work, because karma is very strong in him, karma vasana. For such a person, if he stops all his karma, and if he does not have tattva jnanam, knowledge of the self, what will happen to him is, he will be in a terribly distressed conditions, right? And from that, he will have a lot of problems inside, anartham, right? So, that is an important thing to note. Arjuna, because he has got karma vasana very strong inside, and he is very good at it in doing karma, and such people, if he has no tattva jnanam, and if he has got all this karma vasana inside, the end result will be he will be in a very depressed state. Shogam. Shoga samvigna manasa, says there. Shogam will come. Shogam means total distress, complete distress inside. Yeah. So, in the Ajari Swamiji says here, apraptam ashesha purushartaha, praptam ashesham anarthaha. He won't achieve any success in life, purushartham in life. Not only that, all anartham will come to him, and through ajnanam, or lack of knowledge, shogam will come. Shogam will infect buddhi, his buddhi, and no satisfaction inside, no shanti inside, no perfection inside. Here, fortunately, Arjuna has got Krishna with him. So this problem what Arjuna has got now, fortunately, it happened in the presence of Krishna, in Krishna's presence. So when Arjuna said this, I won't fight the war, and sat on the chariot like that, then Sanjay is saying to Dhritarashtra the first verse in the second chapter. Tam tada kripaya vishtam, Sanjay vacha. Tam tada kripaya vishtam, ashrupurna kulekshanam, vishidandam idam vakyam, uvacha Madhusudana. So that is the background of the first verse in the second chapter. Arjuna is in terrible distress. Yeah? And Arjuna has got a lot of karma vasana inside. Kshatriya vasana. That Kshatriya karma vasana is inside him very strongly. In a person who has got strong karma vasana, and if he does not have tattva jnanam inside, proper knowledge inside, what will happen is, this shogam distress will pull him down heavily. He will feel the distress very much inside. Yeah. So here he is saying here that tam tada kripaya vishtam ashrupurna kulekshanam. And when Arjuna fell into that situation, immediately kripa, mercy, has come in this way, that what he felt that when he saw all his people there in front of him with whom he had to fight. And Arjuna, at that moment, kripa came in his heart, in his mind, right? Ashrupurna kulekshanam, Vishidandam idam vakyam uvacha Madhusudanam. Right? And he started crying like women. Right? Arjuna is known as Purusha Kesari. He is a lion among the men. And here he is with the distress, sitting there and crying, what should I do with this, right? So at that time, Madhusudana, Krishna, has spoken the verse from second verse onwards, right? Why that word Madhusudana there? What does that mean? Madhu and Kaidava, the two asuras who were killed by Vishnu, right? In all these verses, Ajari Swamiji didn't say anything about it, because he doesn't think that it's worthwhile commenting on all that. When Krishna starts talking, he starts commentary about that. Yeah, that's how Bhashyam is, right? So, a verse begins later on, Ashochyan Anyashochastham. That's when the commentary begins. So up to this now, is what we have spoken about is based on what you read from the verses there, right? So, Ashochyan Anyashochastham Vishame Samupasthidam Anarajushtam Aswargyam Akirti Maram Arjuna. That will come later. And so here you can see that these words you have to be careful about, what they have used in the Bhagavad Gita, right? Carefully you should notice these words. The mind has got two swabhava, two nature, right? Yogis will talk about it. One they call it as Vishamasthiti, and the other one is called a samasthiti. Vishamam, samam. Two stages for the mind. Yeah? Yeah. Vishamasthiti means when it is always in a disturbed state. A lot of thought waves and this is right, that's right, confused state. Always in a chaotic condition inside. Yeah? That is Vishamasthiti. Means chanchalam, always flickering nature. And this Vishamasthiti again is spoken in two different ways. What happens to that, right? One, it is always flickering, chabalam stage. That means continuously thought waves are coming, chitavritti. And that is called Vishamasthiti. Whether you want it or not, this mind is speaking all the time. Mind is saying something from inside, right? So, for example, you can see, sometimes if you observe yourself, people are working, even now, quarter of your mind will be here. Quarter of your mind will be at home. Quarter of your mind will be in the office. And quarter of your mind will be somewhere else. Mind is not fully in one place, isn't it? You can see when you are listening also now, sometimes some thoughts will be coming from home. Oh, I have to do that, not pay this bill or that bill. Or I have to meet somebody. There's so many kinds of different kinds of thoughts. It's not that completely 100% your mind is present here. It's a mixture of so many different things in your life coming through the mind in different ways, right? In other words, it is going in 3-4 different directions always. That is called Vishamasthiti. Vishamasthiti, right? Just like, I don't know whether you know this, in the olden days when they had this radio when it came out first time, right? If you select one station, it will fall into other stations also will come in there. You remember that? Yeah. So if you try FM, AM also, all other stations will come into that. And then, this is the long ago, I'm talking about 50, 60 years ago, when we all got radios in the villages in India. It was a big thing then, this thing called radio, right? And when you turn the knob, you can't hold it into one station, because there is another bandwidth for another station, and it will start coming into this. Or some other station will come. And more powerful stations will dominate the radio. Like Voice of America, there was a station at that time. Voice of America, big radio station that was. And BBC and all that. They will be powerful. Well, the small radio stations, they will be wiped out from the... It will be very difficult to capture them, right? So, that is why it was... And similarly, you will hear BBC and you will hear the grinder noise also inside the radio. You will hear all these things inside the radio, right? Mind will be like that, right? And you cannot switch it off, right? Whatever you do, it will keep creating noise from inside. Chitavrittis will keep coming one after the other. And even while sleeping, you will get chitavrittis inside, right? So that chitavrittis that comes in the sleep, that's what we call it as the dream. The chitavrittis that is coming in the sleeping, is called the dream, right? So therefore, because chitavrittis comes in the dream, so comes during the sleep, that's why it becomes a dream at that time. How is it possible to take it away from that? The one solution they say is that remain always awake in the sense that when you are awake, if you don't dream, then when you sleep, you won't dream. But you know how it is. During the day also we are dreaming. A lot of things are coming inside and we call it as daydreaming, isn't it? Manoratham, that's another word for that. So manoratham is going on all the time. Most of the time we are not doing anything. These thoughts are coming and we are dreaming about it, what I have to do here, what I have to do there, and making plans, scheming things for the future, planning, all kinds of things going on inside, perpetually, right? So what they are saying is that if we can stop that during the daytime of dreaming, if we can stop that, then in the night you won't dream. If you don't want to dream at night, the best thing to do is not to dream during the day. So, but unfortunately, we have got this habit now of dreaming during the day. Therefore, we are seeing a lot of dreams during the night, right? Psychologists, they will tell you that without dreaming, jiva cannot live. A person cannot live in this world, right? To an extent, it is true. Without dreaming, it is not possible. But yogis will tell you this. Yeah, what they say is that if the mind has become free from vasanas completely, vasana shunyam, right? If it has come like that, then you will not dream at all in the night. There is no possibility of dreaming at night if all the vasanas have got emptied inside, right? So the reason for experiencing dream at night is this habit of dreaming the day. Sangalpam. Different sangalpams in life, yeah? Different sangalpam everybody has. Planning for the future. Doing something or the other, right? So, the less the sangalpam inside, the less dream it will be. Less sangalpam inside, less dream, right? So, unnecessary dreams won't come in the night, right? So that is what is called this vishamasthiti, right? Mind is not an instrument in our hands. Mind is not an instrument in our hands, right? It is a totally independent thing operating within us. This thing called mind, right? It works independently and independently it brings thoughts inside us, right? All imaginations, all kinds of things, right? And you can see that very clearly it is working independently from us, not according to my desire. Or even if I try to control it, you cannot control it. It works so independently, this mind operates within every one of us, right? So, one guru was traveling with his disciple in a train, right? After some time, the disciple told the guru, "I am feeling hungry," he said. So Guru says to him, "I can't do anything now. Wait till the next station comes. When the train stops, we can buy something to eat, right? Up to that time, you just tolerate the hunger," he said. "If you want, I'll give you a method by which you can control your hunger," he said. Guru told the disciple, right? "You close your eyes, sit there, and you thinking within yourself that you are having a big feast inside." Guru is saying to the disciple, right? "And it has got everything what you want to eat. It's all there in that feast. And after all, it is in your meditation, so you don't have to be miser about it. You can imagine that everything is available, right? And whatever you want to eat, it's all been served in the plate, right? And imagine that you are having that feast now. You imagine like that, yeah? That you are having the feast. So, and then he said, Shishya, disciple did that, yeah? And he cross-legged, he sat there, and he started imagining this, what the Guru told him to do, right? And in the in between, he was breathing also heavily. So Guru asked him, why is that? Have you bitten any chili or something in the feast? Have you bitten any chili? That's what you are breathing so much like this, he said. So, while eating, he said, you don't have to eat chilies and all that, he said. Whatever you like, you eat from the plate. And this whole thing is in an imagination. So why do you have to eat chilies in the imagination, he said. Eat fully independently, he said. So what happened was, in his imagination, that is this bhavana, he bitten this chili because if you leave everything to imagination, right, it is completely independent. In other words, you have no control. Suppose you allow the mind to go freely and imagine things. Mind will imagine things, anything. And in that process, it will bite the chili and you will feel the effect also on due to that, right? To show to us that mind is a totally independent entity operating within all of us, without any control. How hard you try, you cannot control it. It will come and overpower you. Often you may have noticed all this. Everybody knows this, isn't it? That however hard you try to control that mind, you will never be able to say that I have complete control on my mind. What will happen next moment, you don't know. It can cheat you like that. That is even, it can cheat in Lord Shiva, what to talk about anyone else, right? So, so that mind is not in our control, and that is what is this Vishamastiti, is like that, Vishamastiti, right? And if this Vishamastiti is two different ways, one, it will be keep on thinking and about that, and a curiosity, he wants to know everything, and he wants to know about others' affairs, what's happening with others, and all these things, and he wants to know everything about the world, what's going on in the world, and he'll keep working like that. And while you are listening to Bhagavad Gita also, you want to know something more, and therefore they will bring notebook and pen and start writing down what they have heard, something new, right? Always they will have the ashraddha for that, but they will note it down. This is all the nature of that mind. Mind and nature is like that, right? People will try to listen. And while listening, suppose something is spoken on a very higher level, in philosophically, right? And you could not, for a long time, very seriously things are spoken. Then what will happen is that mind will find it difficult, and gradually you will see the person closes his eyes. He falls away. That's the way mind is. You can observe that in people. Suppose some things are spoken, serious things are spoken in Bhagavad Gita or in Bhagavadam. When Krishna is saying some important things, and there are very subtle things as well, mind first will listen to it, and then if mind is not able to connect with it, it will close the eyes. The mind will close the eyes, make the eyes to close, right? And that is that second stage. So, this is how the mind operates, right? First he will think about it, and he will try his best with the mind to capture it. With the mind he will try his best to capture it, right? And that stage is called a mayam. Mayam means measuring things. The mind has got a nature like that. Anything when it hears, it wants to bring it under its control. The mind nature is like that. If you must have observed all these things, I don't know. But this is how Shastram says about this. The nature of the mind is mayam. Mayam means to measure. In other words, my mind has to comprehend it. Completely. It should be within my control. It should come inside me and it should stay within my understanding, right? And if I don't get it, if I'm not able to do that, mind is not able to do that, then it will go to sleep. This is how mind deals with the different things, right? And it will try its best to understand and to bring the topic under its control, but then if it fails, it will lose it, right? So this mayam is that word, trying to bring everything under its control, that measuring things, and that is the nature of the mind. So, for example, normal things like, say for example, water or sweets or books and things like this, all these things, mind will easily pick it up. It will stay in mind, right? But if you talk about Brahman, Maya, and Pradhanam and all that, mind will have no connection with it. Mind doesn't feel any connection with it, right? So, so that is the problem. That Brahman, which is Bodham, Akhanda Bodham, right? When you say like that, Sandra, Anandam, Avabodham, Sachidanandam, Maya, Prakriti, and all these things, when you say those things, mind is finding a bit difficult to connect with that. Whereas if you talk about the watch, about mobile phone, book, mind will easily take it without any difficulty, right? So what it cannot accept, what it mind cannot bring it under control, and finding it difficult, then if it happens, then what you call it as layam comes. Layam means mind goes away. After doing all this, mind goes away, right? Goes away means this vishamam, what we have spoken before, vishamam stage, it has got these two bhavam, vichevam and layam. Vichevam means these thoughts coming continuously inside. This is a part of this vishamam stage. So vishamam, samam, two stages we spoke about, vishamastiti, samastiti. In vishamam stage, these two things happen. Which one? This layam or vichevam. So vishamam has got these two sides, vichevam and layam. Vichevam means thoughts coming continuously, unable to control that. Layam means mind is not able to do anything about it, and mind goes into a dissolved state, sleep state. That's called layam, right? That's called a layam. And mind is constantly on the move, and it will keep on capturing things from what it hears. It will keep on capturing things, and it will, while capturing things also, it is imagining things on its own. That is what, you see, have you noticed what in the Shastram, the definition of mind is like this, Sangalpa Vigalpam Mana, it says. This Sangalpam and Vigalpam, this is the business of the mind. You know, everything is clearly defined in the Vedantam. They will very clearly tell you what it is. Sangalpa Vigalpam Mana, Nishchayalpiga Buddhi. What Buddhi is Nishchayalpiga, decision making power. That is Nishchayalpiga Buddhi. Similarly, Sangalpam Vigalpam. That's what that is, right? So the Sangalpa Vigalpam is this Vichevam. Sangalpam Vigalpam is this Vichevam, right? Layam means the Sangalpa Vigalpam has gone and it is not able to handle the topic anymore. And then it goes into sleep. That's called a layam. Layam, right? So, this is the reason, because of this only, when this is the reason, you can see this in yourself. When you start chanting, you sat down to chant 16 rounds, right? After, first it will start very well for one or two times, right? Mantra. And then after that, suddenly you fall asleep. Why is that happening? You're not tired, but you fall asleep. Why is that? You're not so tired. Say you're feeling fresh after waking up in the morning. You're bathed yourself, and then you sat down to chant Hare Krishna, and then after a few times chanting holy name, you fall asleep. Why is that? It's not because you are tired at that time. That the reason for that is mind is not able to take that holy name completely inside. It is a, how do you say, it is something very abstract for us, the holy name still, isn't it? Holy name is very abstract still. We don't understand the holy name. It's like Brahman. When we talk about Brahman, it's very abstract. Similarly, we are thinking holy name, yes. We are chanting the holy name because Prabhupada is saying you should chant. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying you should chant. Bhagavatam is saying you should chant. So we are chanting. But at the same time, mind is not able to comprehend it, the holy name. Mind is not able to comprehend it. And because of that, what happens? Mind shows its character when it comes to that. That's why when you start chanting, after some time, you go to sleep because of this, right? And so, this is all has to be known because the next chapter, the second chapter, is a very subtle chapter. There's a lot of things Krishna has spoken, and unless you know the background of all these things, the terminologies what Krishna has used won't be clear to us. We won't understand that, right? So what he says here that, so if the mind is absorbed in the thoughts heavily, in that Vishamastiti, Vichevam is very heavily, right? If you try to stop that, the next step will be to fall into sleep. Fall into sleep, nidra. So, what Krishna is going to say now is that the mind should not have thoughts inside. Thoughts should not come into the mind. And also, you should not fall asleep. That's a demand. From that is yoga. Yoga means that. Yeah. So, and if you can do that, no thoughts developing inside, at the same time you don't fall into sleep, if that can happen, that is called samasthiti. You remember? We began with that. Vishamasthiti and samasthiti. The two states what we spoke. And Vishamasthiti has got these two situations, Vichevam and Layam. All these words, you have to remember them. There is no alternative to that. Vishamasthiti, samasthiti. Vishamasthiti means Vichevam, Layam. We've seen what that means, is it not? Vichevam means thought waves coming one after the other. And the mind is not able to handle it anymore. So many thoughts have come. That time mind falls into a state called Layam. That's a sleeping state. Mind just closes and you doze off straight away. When the mind stops thinking, when the mind is not able to handle it anymore, and mind withdraw from that, then what happens is you fall into sleep state. Layam sthiti, right? So when does that happen? When things are very abstract for the mind, cannot comprehend, as I mentioned before, Brahman, Maya, Prakriti, Jiva, all these things are a little bit abstract for us. We are only used to dealing with the solid things like books, table, mobile phone, water. Those things easily mind will catch up. But when you talk about Brahman, Jiva, Mithya, Jagat, Maya and all that, mind is completely in a confused state. Mind is not able to relate with that. So at that time, mind will, for some time it will listen. And then the mind will say, it's not able to relate with it. And without your knowledge, this is all happening without your knowledge inside, you will fall asleep. Layam will come to you. So, Vishamasthiti and Samasthiti. Vishthevam and Layam is Vishamasthiti. Layam means, Samasthiti means, no thought waves inside, at the same time, you don't fall into sleep. If you are able to stay like that is Samasthiti, what Krishna is going to talk about. That is called a Samasthiti, right? So, then Krishna is going to say that in the Bhagavad Gita later. No thought waves, no chitta vritti, but at the same time not sleeping either, right? And the words they have used is anidram, aswapnam, advaidam. Means there is no thought waves. You are very alert at that time. Ajam. Ajam means there is no thought waves. No thought waves are coming inside. Anidram. No sleep is coming inside. Aswapnam. No dreams are coming inside. Advaidam. You are in that oneness state, right? That means very alert inside and full of jagrada. Jagrada means full awareness, full bodham, right? Fresh, very inside. Inside is very fresh. That is called a samasthiti. Another word for that is yogasthiti. Samasthiti or yogasthiti, right? So, from yoga state, that is yoga state, Krishna says, that is yoga state or samasthiti. From there, when movement happens, then comes to vishamasthiti. Vishamasthiti is normal our state. Yeah? Vishamasthiti. And vishamasthiti, you know what that means is vichevam layam, vichevam layam, vichevam layam, goes on and on and on and on all the time. We are never able to touch that state what Krishna is talking about, which is samasthiti. So the vichevam and layam are vishamasthiti. Samasthiti means everything what's happening in the vishamasthiti, which means thought waves coming one after the other, that stops, but you're not falling into layam. That state, that is yoga sthiti or samasthiti, what Krishna is talking about. And that's where we have to be at the end of this chapter. We are supposed to get that stage. So when you are in that vishamasthiti, where there is vichevam layam going on, where there is a lot of thought waves, which means vichiptam. Vichiptam means mind is all over the place, we say like that, isn't it? We say my mind is all over the place. And that state is called vishadam. That's called vishadam. So you see that, now, Arjuna Vishada Yogam we said in the beginning. Vishadam, when it comes to Vedantam, it is analyzed in this way. Vishamam Samam. And mind is completely broken up. How they have analyzed that, right? Vishadam means can't do anything. It's totally depressed. Completely depressed, right? And this Vishadam, if it goes beyond the limit, it is called madness. Person has become mad then. That's the next level. From Vishadam, if Vishadam becomes very deep inside a person, he'll become mad, right? So, if this Vishadam stays within a certain limit, then you are an ordinary person, like all of us now. We are ordinary people. But we have got this madness inside, but somehow or the other, it is within a limit. It has not gone beyond that limit, right? If it goes beyond the limit, this Vishadam, then you become a mad person. Bhranta. Madness. You'll become mad, right? So, all the madness inside us will come out at that time, right? He will talk nonsense then. So, the only difference between us and the madmen is this only. Somehow or the other, the madness has not come out. Madness is there inside, but it's not coming out. It is staying within that limit. It does not cross the border. But if it crosses the border, which means that Vishadam is there inside us, right? But that Vishadam has not gone beyond the limit. But if it crosses the limit, it will become madness. And then you won't be able to control that. That means this Vishadam, when it becomes Vichiptam to that extent, that's when that happens. So Arjuna's state now, what is his state? Vishadam. He has come to the Vishadam state. If it goes worse, it can become mad, right? So, and that is in this Vishadam state only, he is talking all these things. Tremendous distress inside for Arjuna, right? And he is saying, I have to kill all my relatives in front of me, right? And all thoughts of things he is talking about in this chapter is begin with that, right? Tam tada kripaya vishtam ashrupurna kulekshanam Vishidandam idam vakyam uvacha Madhusudana, right? He's saying here that he's look at the word ashrupurna kulekshana means tears are coming from his eyes and eyes have gone red and then vishamam suffering inside him. So in this way, when he was in this situation, Krishna spoke to him. Yeah. He says, Arjuna, if it is too much for you, go and stay home. Stay at home. Don't worry about these things, right? Or go and sleep somewhere, right? Or you take sannyasam. Go away from here, right? So, anyway, not many people were coming forward to take sannyasam those days. So, he said like that, right? So there is a system that if you can't get anybody to take sannyasam, whoever can get come forward, you give them sannyasam, whether he's qualified or not. There is a system like that, right? In many mathams they do sometimes like that. Nobody is coming forward to take sannyasam. So what they will do, they will, whoever comes, they will offer him sannyasam, even if he doesn't want it. Forcefully giving to him sannyasam, right? And and that is the situation now in many places. It is like that, right? So here, Krishna is saying here, he mentioned here that, you remember earlier mentioned, Netrai Shotrai Shapanaye. He has got his hand, this cane in his hand. It was a charioteer, isn't it? He's got the cane in his hand. And when he saw this, Arjuna's mood, with that cane, he gave two smack on Arjuna. And that smacking is the next two verses. How he beat him up. Krishna gave a two very strong smacking on him through two verses. Yeah. And that is the next two. It is not upadesham. It is not advice, right? In these two verses, the whole science of Bhagavad Gita is spoken. The next two verses. Shri Bhagavan Vacha. Look at the verses. Kritastva kashmalamidam vishame samupasthidam anarya jushtam aswargyam agirtimkaram Arjuna. Klaibhyam asmagam apartha naivatta yubabadyade kshudram hrdaya daurbalyam tyakto tishta parandava. That is strong words Krishna has used to beat Arjuna. Gave you two good beatings, he told him with these two verses, right? He says to him that it is not instruction, he says. So if you look at those verses, you can see the whole message of Bhagavad Gita is coming through those two verses, right? From outside, if you look at it, it is not, in Tattvajnanam is not spoken in that. But in a very strong language, Krishna has beaten Arjuna twice with the two verses, twice. Klaibhyam asmagama partha naivatva yubabadyade kshudram hridaya daurbalyam tyakto tishta parandava. Yeah? And kritastva kashmalamidam vishame samupasthidam anarya jushtam aswargyam akirtim karam Arjuna. Those two verses. It's just Krishna gave a good two smack to him by saying those verses, right? So, Arjuna, the word Arjuna means one who has got a hrijabuddhi. Hrijabuddhi means that very straightforward person he is, Arjuna, right? In other words, hrijutva means Arjuna is supposed to be, his name indicates that, he's supposed to be a very straightforward person, right? And here, the way Krishna is saying that, when I see you in this condition, actually it is shameless, he said. You see what he's saying there? Anarya jushtam asorgyam akirtim karam Arjuna, he says. Kritastva kashmanamidam vishame samupasthidam anarya jushtam aswargyam akirtim karam Arjuna, right? So what he's saying is, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna is supposed to be a straightforward person, but here he looks like a wishy-washy nature, this way, that way, all the time, right? And seeing his conditions, Krishna is saying, it is shameful that I have to see you in this state, right? You see that word kashmalam, the word there, kutastva kashmalam idam. Kashmalam, where did this word come from, kashmalam, the word? Kashmalam means that when you start seeing analma vastu, that means jada vastu, what is not consciousness. In analma vastu, if you start thinking they are real and they will exist forever, they are the truth. When you start thinking like that, that's when kashmalam, you become kashmalam. Kashmalam idam, kashmalatva means that jadam you start accepting as satyam. You remember, we mentioned that before, in the beginning, that jadavastu, Krishna is saying to us, that if you start seeing jadavastu as real, and jadavastu is that you want to have it, if you want to have Jadavastu, and you start thinking Jadam is real, that's Kashmalam. Kashmalasthiti, Kashmalavastha, it is called. Kutastva Kashmalamidam. He says here, isn't it? Kutastva Kashmalamidam. How did this Kashmalam comes to you? Krishna is asking Arjuna. How did this stage happen to you? Kashmalamidam, right? So, that's why, and the same word, in Viveka Chudamani, Acharya Swami has used also. The same Kashmalamidam, right? If you look at the verse 379, he says, yeah. Anatma chindanam tektva kashmalam dukha karanam. Chindayan atmana anatmanam arupam yen mukti karanam. Same meaning. Kashmalamidam. Anatma chindanam tektva. Anatma chindanam tektva kashmalam dukha karanam. When you think about anatma, what is not atma, not consciousness, jadam, when you think about that, dukha karanam, it will become kashmalam. That's the state, kashmalam dukha karanam. Chindai atmanam anandam rupam yen mukti karanam. When you come to atma stage and thinking about atma, and chindai atmanam anandam rupam, it brings anandam inside, that becomes the cause of mukti, liberation. Yeah. So basically, differentiating between Jadam and Chaitanyam. When you are with the Jadam, and if your mind got absorbed in the Jadam, what will happen is you will become Kashmalam. When you become absorbed in Chaitanyam, Atma, then you come to Anandam, Mukti Karanam. Mukti Karanam. So that's what he's saying here, right? So, what does it mean? What does that mean? What is that thing, what is not Atma, is this body. Body is that thing. And 90% of our thoughts, all our thought waves, is about maintaining this body. Is it not? Have you thought through this? Every day, if you think about life, 90% of time is thinking about this body. How to keep the body working, body going, protecting the body, and for the sake of the body we are working, going to work. For the sake of the body you are earning, and for the sake of the body you are eating, sleeping, and all other bodily needs, urges you are fulfilling. Anything and everything, if you analyze your own life, you can see that all the time is for the body. Everything is used for the body, nothing else, right? So, for the bodily maintenance. And that fear is inside every one of us about this body, thinking about it, what will happen next moment, right? And apart from that, on a daily basis you are fearing about the body, and also you also have the fear, what will happen to it tomorrow? Because everybody is dying all around. When you come to that age, you start seeing one after the other is popping out every day. And then everybody is saying, you have to pray for him, pray for this, pray for that, all. And but whoever prays, whatever happened, this body is going to drop one day. All your prayers are not going to work at that time. So, and you also know that all these prayers are all not going to work. The body will go. So, that fear of the body is the first thing. Fear of one's own body. Apart from that, those who are dependent on you in this world, like family members, all of them, you are worried about their body as well. You are worried about your own body first, fundamentally, basically. And then inside you, there is also always this constant fear about everybody else who are surrounded you, family members, their body. What if anything happens to them? That worries you. So basically, in our thoughts, more than 90% of our time is worrying about the bodies only. Your body and others' bodies, right? So everything is about the body, and that is called Kashmalam. That state is called Kashmalam. Kutastva Kashmalamidam. Krishna is saying that. Kutastva Kashmalamidam. Vishame Samupastidam. Anarajushtam Aswargyam Akirtinkaram Arjuna, he says. So, and this body is not even real. And you are worrying about the 90% of the time. Something that is not even real, and you are worrying about that 90% of the time. Just see the avidya inside all of us. The depth of that avidya, how strong it is, that's what it is indicating. Krishna has a big battle here to get Arjuna out of this state. See the problem in spiritual life. Krishna is putting out the whole thing in front of Arjuna, saying to him that you have fallen into this state because you are Kashmalam. Kashmalam means what? You are worrying about something which is not even real. And what is that? This body. And what is happening in our life? In Arjuna's case also. And Arjuna's worries was thinking about Bhishma's body, Drona's body, his own body, and the body of Abhimanyu and all others who are fighting the battle. So Krishna opens this Bhagavad Gita directly telling Arjuna where he stands in his life. Kutastva Kashmalam idam. You are Kashmala, he says. Kashmalam means this, that one who is absorbed in the body all the time. Yeah. So, and the fact is that the body is not even real as far as Krishna is concerned. Body is not even real, right? Dahyade idi deham. Shiryade idi shariram. These are all definitions in the Shastram for the body. Shiryade idi shariram. They means continuously dying. Something continuously dying. Shiryade idi shariram. Dahyade idi deham. It means which gets burned at the end into ashes. That's why it's called a deham. Dehinosmin yatha dehe. How did this name? Now, these you can see from the words itself that this language is very much Rishi's language. They will use only these words. Deham, shariram. When they say that, this is all implied in that word. Right? So, you are worrying about something what is not even real. That's Krishna's opening remark. You are worrying about something which is not even real, and I don't understand where this is coming from, Krishna is saying to Arjuna. To wake up Arjuna from that ignorance, right? Krishna is saying to him that you have worrying about something which is not even real, and that, where did that come from? Bhartrihari says this. Bhartrihari was a great personality in Vikramaditya's time, right? So, he says there that some people, he says, that they don't have the wealth in their hands at the moment, and they are thinking some wealth is going to come to them, and they didn't have it before. And if you are thinking about all that, then you are a Kashmalam. Why is he saying like that? Because this body, if you look at it, yeah, we didn't have it before we came to this world. When you came to this world, you got this body, isn't it? And then one day it goes away from you. You lose this body one day completely. So that means at one time you didn't have it and you are thinking about it. And one time, at some time, it is going to leave you also and you are still thinking about it. That is Krishna's argument. Krishna is saying to us, you didn't have this body before you came here. It came somewhere in the middle. One instance it came to us. And it is going to leave you one day and go. And that also you know very well. And about a thing like that, you are worrying about it. Something that was not present before and something that is not going to exist afterwards doesn't exist in the middle either. That is the logic in that. Vedantam's logic is that. Something that didn't exist in the before and something that didn't exist afterwards, because after death the body will be gone. Because it doesn't exist because it doesn't exist afterwards, it doesn't exist in the middle either. Chatushlogi? Aham evasam evagre na anyal sadasal param paschad aham yadecha yo avashishyata sosmeham. This all you have to connect each other. Then you will understand these verses. Krishna's words, using the word. Thinking is very clear in Krishna's position. Body is not real. How can you take this body so seriously? It didn't exist before I came here. It came, I came as Kapila Maharshi says there, Kalaram Arbudaryatrena, all that verses. Yeah. And then it started growing like this one day. and it grew up, and then came out of the body, mother's body, and then it started growing, and finally childhood, boyhood, youthhood, old age, and finally it disappears from here. Can you accept that as a real thing? Arjuna Krishna is saying that, right? So that is the nature of this body, means that it didn't exist before, it is not going to exist in the future, and you are worrying about it now. Now you are worrying about it. Something that didn't exist in the past, nor it is going to exist in the future, right? So something on which you have no control over it, right? And suffering from that, thinking about it and suffering from that, that is what is called a kashmalam. Something on which you have no control, which didn't exist before, which will not exist afterwards, which is not even real now, and you are worrying about that. That's kashmalam, right? Kutastva kashmalam idam, right? In a situation like this, you should have been strong enough to understand this. But in such a situation, you have become so weak, he says to Arjuna, Krishna says, right? So, which means that his mind has come to the Vishamasthiti, right? So, and this is not suitable for Aryans. An Arya Jushtam Aswargyam Akirtim Karam Arjuna, he says. Aryam. Here again, you see how much we have been cheated by the historians. It doesn't matter, Indian historians or British historians, right? They have created this confusion in people's mind. Arya word in Shastram is not like the historians are saying to us now. Historians are saying to us, Arya means people who came from Iran and other places to Bharata Bhumi, they came from there, right? And they said that the people, this is historical version, right? People who lived in the northern part of Bharata Bhumi, they were Dravidas, and they moved to the south from there, and Aryans came from outside. Aryan invasion theory, they call it. In all history, schools, colleges, they are teaching this nonsense, right? Neither in any of the Vedic literature, you don't see this word used, Arya, as a race coming from another country. Arya means one who has very higher level of spiritual life. That's what Arya means, the word Arya means, right? So, they created this Arya Dravida theory, the historians, and they injected this through our schools and colleges to the people, and because of that, fight happened. People are fighting on this basis. Arya Dravida theory, right? Similarly, people who live in the Gauda Desham, Bengal and all that, there is Gaudas, right? So, Arya does not mean a racial name. Nowhere you will find that. It is done by the Western historians who wrote the history, right? And they mean this, that Aryas have come from outside, invaded India, and they, they say, and people are asking now, where did the Hindus come from? People are asking this question, where did the Hindus come from? Which part of they came from? Some people say come from Africa, some people say they come from another part of the Middle East, and things like that. This is what these historians are doing. If you go by the Vedam and Vedic knowledge, you don't find this word used like this anywhere. Aryan means one who has lived for higher values in life, higher purposes in life, right? So, and our leaders also accepted that. And our professors also wrote the books on this basis. And even our great personalities has fallen into that trap. Leaders also fall into that trap, right? And they wrote stories based on this. Arya word has no meaning like that. In Rigveda, 36 times this word Arya is used. The word Arya is used in the Rigveda 36 times, right? And nowhere this word Arya is used indicating as a race. It's never spoken like that, right? You will see that Aryaputra, it is addressed like that, right? Wife calls the husband, and it does not refer to a particular race or a caste or anything like that. Arya means Shrestha Purusha. That means one who is very highly cultured, highly civilized, and spiritually very advanced society, right? That's all it means, right? And So Anarya Jushtam, Krishna is saying there. Anarya Jushtam Aswargyam, Akirtim Karamarjuna. And it is not proper for an Arya to behave like this. That's what Krishna is saying there. It is not up to an Arya person who is an Arya, he will not behave in this way, he said. Aswargyam. And so Aswargyam. That means that does not give you happiness in life. That's all it means. So Vishnu Puranam will talk about this, right? Manapridigaram Surgaha. Surgam means if you are happy inside. If your mind is in a happy state, that's called Surgam, right? And opposite to that is Naragam, hell. So Krishna says to Arjuna, Anari Jushtam Aswargyam Akirtikaram Arjuna. If you do this, the way you are behaving now, tomorrow what will happen is you will get a bad name for this, right? And Aswargyam Akirtikaram. And all people in the world will say that at the moment when they hear the name of Arjuna, they feel very respectful towards him. But that will go now with this. And that is what he is saying there in that verse. Yeah. Klaibhyam asmagama partha naivatta yubavadyade kshudram hridaya daurbalyam tyakto tishta parantava. That you are like klaibhyam, klibam. Klibastra means neither man nor woman. Either you should be a man or you should be like a woman. It's neither man nor woman. That state. Klibatvam, it is called klaibhyam. Right? So this klibada means neither man nor no woman, behaving like that, right? So Upanishad will say like this, for self-realization, it is only possible, nayam atma balahinanal alabhyaha. One who is very weak, for him self-realization is not possible. Atma-tatvam, self-realization, is not possible for him. So these two verses, what you have seen there, the second and third verses in this chapter, even though it was spoken to encourage Arjuna to fight the war, even though it was used by Krishna to motivate Arjuna to fight the war, Vivekananda took these two verses and he used that to mobilize the whole Bharatavarsham to fight the British at that time. He used these two words to wake up the whole country. Before Mahatma Gandhi came, Vivekananda was mobilizing. He began in a spiritual way, and these are the two verses he used for that. He said that at that time, of course, that was used for that purpose. We don't have to worry about that. It's not our interest. For us, it is the spiritual side of that, right? What is required is this inner strength, right? So outwardly, you are saying this, that this state where chittavrittis are coming, but they are not stopping. Continuous chittavrittis are coming, right? So Paurusham means this ability in us is not becoming successful in the world outside. Internally, if one is able to turn inwards, inner field, and one is not able to go inward looking and becoming strong inside in the spiritual side, then he is neither man nor woman. So this klibatvam, we have to understand it that way. Of course, Vivekananda used it for another purpose. That's another reason. But the point here in Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna is saying is this, that Paurusham means Purusha, man. He is a man, which means that one who can turn inwards and become strong inside. Yeah. If you don't have that, he is neither a man nor a woman. That's when you address him as Klaibhyam, he says, right? And this is not suitable for you, Krishna says to Arjuna. This is not suitable for you. It is the weakness of your heart లభ్యం ఆస్మగగం పార్థ నైవత్వ ఉపబద్యదే క్షుద్రం హృదయ దౌర్బల్యం. హీ సేస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ హృదయ దౌర్బల్యం, వీక్నెస్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ హార్ట్. అండ్ బికాస్ ద రీజన్ ఫర్ దాట్ ఈస్ యువర్ మైండ్ ఈస్ వేవరింగ్ వోబ్లీ ఆల్ ద టైమ్, నథింగ్ ఈస్ రెస్పాన్సిబుల్ ఫర్ దాట్, ఇట్ ఈస్ యువర్ వీక్నెస్ దౌర్బల్యం, రైట్. Sometimes we say to others, I don't know why it is, my mind is very disturbed. We say to somebody else in that way, right? So, and then people go to psychologists and tell the psychologists. And sometimes they go to Swamijis. Some Swamijis we go and tell them that we have got this problem. And we know very well what is causing your problem. Asking others to find out what it is impossible. They cannot say anything. So this Hridaya Daurbhalyam is nothing but a weakness of the heart. We'll continue after the break. Chedo darpanam arjanam bhaumaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakkaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadho jeevanam anandambudhi vardhanam pradipada purnamrita swadhanam sarvapna supanam varam vijayade shri krishna sangirtanam నామ్నామకారి బహుదా నిజ సర్వశక్తి తత్రార్పితా నియమితా స్మరణేన కాల ఏదాదృశీ తవ కృపా భగవన్ మమాభి దుర్దైవమీదృశమిహ జనినానురాగాః తృణారభీషు నీచేన తరోరభీ సహిష్ణున అమానినా మానదేన కీర్తనీయ సదా హరి నధనం నజనం నసుందరీం కవితాం వా జగదీశ కామయే మమ జన్మని జన్మనీశ్వరి భవదాల్ భక్తి అహై దుగి త్వయి అయి నందతనూజ కింగరాం పతితా మాం క్షమే భవాంబుదౌ కృపయా దవపాద మంగజ స్థిత ధూళి సదృశం విచిందయ నయనం గలద శుధారయ వదనం గద్గద రుద్ధయ గిర పులగైర్నిజితం కదా వభూ తవ నామగ్రహణే భవిష్యది యుగాయిదం నిమేషేణ చక్షుషా ప్రావిశాయిదం శూన్యాయిదం జగల్ సర్వం గోవింద విరహేణ మే ఆశ్లిష్య వా పాదరదాం వినష్టు మాం అదర్శనాం మర్మహతాం కరోతు వా యథా తథా వా విదధాదులం పడో మత్ప్రాణనాథాస్తు నయేవ నాపరా సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. కుతస్త్వా కష్మలమిదం విషమే సముపస్థితం అనార్యజుష్టమస్వర్గ్యం అకీర్తిం కరమర్జున క్లైవ్యం ఆస్మగమపార్థ నైవత్వ ఉపబద్యదే క్షుద్రం హృదయ దౌర్బల్యం త్యక్తోష్తిష్ట పరంతపా. సో అర్జున సెడ్ దిస్, కృష్ణ సెడ్ దిస్ టు అర్జున. అండ్ వి యాస్ ఐ మెన్షన్ బిఫోర్ దాట్ దిస్ మైండ్ వెన్ ఇట్ గెట్స్ డిస్టర్బ్డ్ we approach others asking them why I feel so disturbed inside, right? And as normal in this world that Krishna is saying here that hridaya daurbalyam, weakness of your heart, he says hridaya daurbalyam. What does that mean? Hridaya daurbalyam means balam means shubha vasana, that means there is not enough శుభ వాసన ఇన్సైడ్. దట్స్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద వీక్నెస్ ఆఫ్ ద హార్ట్ మీన్స్. వెన్ వీ సే ఐ ఫీల్ వెరీ వీక్ ఇన్ మై హార్ట్, ఐ డోంట్ హ్యావ్ ద స్ట్రెంగ్త్ టు మీట్ ఎ క్రైసిస్. వెన్ క్రైసిస్ కమ్స్ ఇన్ లైఫ్ యూ ఫీలింగ్ వెరీ వీక్, యూఆర్ నాట్ ఏబుల్ టు ఫేస్ ఇట్, యూ ఫీలింగ్ వెరీ వీక్. వాట్ దట్ మీన్స్ ఈస్ ది జీవ డస్ నాట్ హ్యావ్ సఫిషియంట్ శుభ వాసన ఇన్సైడ్. శుభ వాసన మీన్స్ ద స్పిరిచువల్ స్ట్రెంగ్త్ ఇన్సైడ్, రైట్. So, in other words, what Krishna is saying to us is, this is interesting. Krishna is saying, a jiva has to decide for himself, first of all, that he should know how to be selfish in life. Normally we are told you should not be selfish, selfless. But on this issue, Krishna is saying, you have to be selfish. What is that selfishness? This selfishness is not for making money, or winning over others, or controlling the world, or winning the elections and things like that. Not that way, this selfishness. This selfishness is that in this lifetime, I want the shanti, I want realization, I want to escape in this situation of birth and death, cycle of birth and death, right? I want shanti inside, like the Upanishad says, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. That shanti I want, perfection I want, and that selfishness is required. One to have one, that desire, strong desire inside to become free from the cycle of birth and death, right? So if you have that swarthada, selfishness, Krishna is saying, that selfishness in Vedantam, they call it as mumukshatvam. It's the same thing. It is the same, that selfishness, what Krishna is talking about, is the same thing in Vedantam, they call it as mumukshatvam. Mumukshatvam means I want to become free from this cycle of transmigration of body, right? So, as soon as possible in this life itself, I want to become perfect in spiritual life, right? That perfection, shanti, I want to acquire that. And that decision making inside, if jiva has decided for that, this is the difficult part of spiritual life. Spiritual life difficulty is not the sadhana side of it. Sadhana side is easier compared to getting to this decision. Most of our problems is that we have not come to this decision yet. What do we want in life? Lot of us are doing practicing spiritual life as a supplementary to our material life. If material life goes happily, we are happy. And that itself is not a good situation for spiritual life. If in your material life, if you are happy, that's not a good situation for spiritual life. Because why? No spiritual desires. Self-realization is not important anymore. Because materially you are happy in life. That situation will come. What Krishna, that's what that verse also I mentioned in the morning. Udharedalpanalpanam. That decision is completely in Jiva's hand. It is not in Krishna's hand. Krishna is not going to help us on that. Krishna is saying, if a Jiva decides to come out from this, then I will help him after that. But the decision to come out of this has to come from the Jiva, not from Krishna. That's why in three places I mentioned, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, and in the Viveka Churamani, all three places, they are saying the same thing. Uddharedalpana Alpanam, Alpanam Mausadayat, Alpanyayu Alpanu Bandhu, Alpanyayu Yuvar Alpana. Famous words in the Bhagavad Gita, right? Uddharedalpana Alpanam means you have to do it yourself, on your own. You are the one who have to do that. Krishna cannot do that. He says, if a man has decided to come out from this cycle of birth and death, and he wants to become free, then I will give them the opportunity. But he has to make the first step himself. And that is where our difficulty is. We are not ready for that. We are still not sure whether we want spiritual life or whether we want material life. We are happy if both, some people will say also, that if I can balance these two together, they say. There is no balancing in spiritual life. It's a misunderstanding. Many people say like that. If we can balance between material life and spiritual life, where is the balancing? Either you have material life or you have spiritual life. One of the both, you won't balance it. That's a misunderstanding. Spiritual life means getting out of the material life. And that decision is a difficult decision. That's what Krishna is saying here. That is called the selfishness, what Krishna is talking about here. So if the jiva has decided inside, that firm decision if he has taken, then no other force in this world can come against him, against his decision, right? Provided he wants a shanti, I want perfection, purnada, shanti, and samadhanam. If I want all that, if he has decided that, then it is possible to go further, right? On the other hand, suppose you have taken a strong decision inside that I want my body to be perfect, always should remain healthy, I should not get sick. You make a decision like that, it's not possible. See the difference? If you decide that I want to remain healthy all the time, I'll do all the exercises, I'll take all the medicines, and I'll follow all the rules and regulations and, you know, all the available tools in this world to keep my body healthy and not to get sick, you make a decision, firm decision, it won't work. It's not possible like that, right? Whatever you may do at the end, you will get sick. You will get sick, right? And imagine that you want to live in this world up to 100 years without getting sick. It's not possible. You already know that. You have no control over this, isn't it? You have to think this very seriously, because this is a very important thing, that Just like if you think that if you can maintain this body healthy throughout your life, if you decide, it's not possible. But what Krishna is saying is, if you decide all the time to become free from this material life and come to the platform, the spiritual platform, you make the decision, but you will at the end become perfect. Not like the body you are dealing with. Body, you can deal with it, you will lose the battle at the end. Spiritual life, you deal with it, you will become perfect at the end. This is Krishna's promise in the Bhagavad Gita. It is on this principle whole Bhagavad Gita is based on. Bhagavad Gita's proper understanding is that dealing with the body, you leave it to prarabdham. Spiritual realization is you use your ability, paurusham, in there. Complete surrender to Krishna or take the process very seriously and you develop this strength inside that I want to become free from this world once for all. I don't want to come back. I don't want to get another material body again and go through this whole process again. This, we have to think ourselves, analyze it properly and make that decision within ourselves and move in that direction. Then Krishna says, help will come at that moment, right? So, in the same way, say wealth in this world. Suppose you worked very hard, made a lot of money, lot of wealth, right? And if you think that you can maintain it forever, it's not possible. You will lose it. Somewhere it will go, right? Sometimes wealth, you can see in the rich family, very wealthy family if you look, it will stay sometimes one or two generations. After that, it's all gone. It doesn't stay permanently with any wealthy family forever, right? So, but this shanti, perfection inside, if you have decided that, and it is possible, Krishna is saying, to get to that perfection. This is the difference between body and the soul. Body and the soul, right? And this is confirmed not only by Krishna, all the rishis are saying this. All the rishis are saying this. It is the same thing the rishis have said, Krishna has said. They both of them say this. That dealing with the body is concerned, don't expect perfection. You deal with it, what it suits you, you do, and whatever happens will happen. But self-realization you try, it, one day you can become perfect, provided this decision is there within you, right? So in this field of spiritual life, you have complete freedom in that, right? Otherwise, all this has no meaning, you see. Bhagavad Gita has no meaning if it is not like this, right? Suppose everything is destiny. And if you start liking like that, in fact, liberation, self-realization, if it is all destiny, then it has no meaning. Do you understand? If self-realization, liberation and all, if it is all based on destiny, it has no meaning. What Krishna is saying is, on those things, don't bring destiny into it. Destiny is for the body and the mind, not for the soul. When we talk about prarabdham and all, it's all for the body and the mind, not for the soul, right? So, in the field of soul and spiritual life, we have complete freedom, in the sense that even prarabdham cannot enter into that. Prarabdham can only interfere in your bodily life, bodily matters related to the body and material life is concerned. That's where prarabdham comes in, right? So, prarabdham cannot put its control on our spiritual progress, right? So, first thing Krishna says, if you make that decision, you know these two verses, what Krishna has spoken now, in this second and third verse, right? To Arjuna, when he beat him with this understanding. He's saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, you are so stupid that you don't even know this fundamental thing. That in the platform of the body, you are trying to become happy. Give up that first. And all this dharma what you are talking about is all based on your body. All that has nothing to do with the self-realization, which is a totally different thing, where you have total freedom as well, to function properly. This is why those people who had that strong desire to realize the truth, they are the people who have become successful in spiritual life. You see? So, here he says that, if we have decided that I want perfection in life, self-realization, to become free from this bodily identity once for all, if we have decided that is a symptom of a sthita prajna. That's what that sthita prajna means. You see that word prajna? Prajna means what? Prajna means bodham, consciousness inside. Prajnanam brahmam, he says, prajna. Prajna means that bodham inside. So sthita prajna means one whose prajna is sthidam. Sthidam means steady. No more movement away from that. One who has decided this, that he wants to realize the truth now, here, before the death happens, and I'll do everything I can to get to that realization, that person who has decided that is a sthita prajna, right? So, and then Krishna said to Arjuna, at the end of this chapter you will see, at least before death, he says, you should come to this conclusion, at least before death. Yasham brahmi sthiti partha nainam prapi vimukhyari stithosyas andhakalebi brahma nirvana murchari. That's how he concludes this second chapter. So this is the important point. Yeah. Don't waste a lot of time thinking that this body will stay. Body won't stay. And we have to keep telling this to us all the time. Body will go one day, and be prepared for that, and not to give too much importance to it. And one, if you keep on thinking about the body and worrying about the body and trying to maintain the body and thinking that somehow or the other you can survive, Krishna says, that's not a good intelligence. That's not good intelligence, he says. Yeah. So, andhakalepi, at least by the time of death you should come to this decision, he says. At least by the time of death. If you have come to this decision strongly, then you will have shanti, you will have shanti, some shanti you will get. It's still a success in life. So, after passing through this life, this one life, if one can come to that level at least of realization, thinking that I want to come out of this, don't want to come back again, don't want another body. Now when you ask, we will say, oh, I don't want to come back anymore, and we will say all that, but we don't mean it actually. We are happy to come back. And if we can get another happy material life again, we are more than happy to come back. That means we have not developed that mokshatvam yet. That siddhaprajnatvam has not come to us. A lot of people are there like that. They'll say that, sometimes when you ask people, they are 65, 70 year old, right? You ask them, why are you not retiring? Is he not retired? He says, yeah, I want to retire, but you know, I got this problem at home, that problem at home. Why? Because inside he is happy to go to work. He's not willing to give up work. Work is giving him happiness. That person is not ready for spiritual life. There's no point in telling him. He may have taken initiation. He may have be chanting 16 rounds. He may be doing, following all the principles, everything, but he is not ready for spiritual life. Spiritual life means you have to be ready for that. And this is what Krishna is expecting for that. That you are decided that there's nothing in this world for me to do. All the worldly problems is their world problem. It's not my problem. I have to escape from this mess where I have ended up with. So to come to that platform, it takes time. You got to get a lot of kick from this world. Then it makes it a lot easier to come to that. If you get some good kick from Prakriti, then it makes a little bit more, mind will turn away. But suppose you don't get any suffering in life, and things are going nicely, money is coming, having good time in this world, then it won't happen. It won't happen. So all those things Krishna is talking about. Yeah. So if that sankalpam, if that decision comes, that power of that sankalpam, and that is called the balam. Kshudram hridaya daurbalyam, he said, isn't it? So that is the balam of hridayam. If this sangalpam is not there, imagine in a person, he does not have this sangalpam. In other words, he is very weak in his heart, right? No matter whatever he does in life, he will get distress at the end. He will have distress at the end. You may ask a question, is this not sangalpam? Is it not selfishness? Right? People ask this, and desiring for liberation for yourself, is that not selfishness? People ask that question, isn't it? If that is selfishness, let it be selfishness. That is Krishna's answer to that. If that is selfishness, let that be selfishness. Because if you develop this selfishness, and if you succeed in your spiritual life with self-realization, that is the highest selflessness. That is the highest selflessness as far as Krishna is concerned. Krishna says, if you have come to spiritual path with this mindset, and if you have succeeded in spiritual life, that is the highest selflessness one can have. One can have, right? Yeah. So, why is that? Why is that? Because when a person has realized the truth, if somebody else comes to his association, that person whose mind is very disturbed, he will become peaceful in his association of a person who has realized the truth, right? So, and not only that person who has realized, he won't give trouble to anyone, right? And even if somebody abuses him, he will see himself that how it is coming inside towards him, and he will see the way mind is reacting inside, and he will not react to it. These are all the benefit of that sthita prajnatvam, what brings back, right? And normally when we get angry, we can't even recognize that. We get angry and we say something or do something, right? But a person who has reached this level, he will see when the anger is coming. He can notice that he is getting angry, and therefore he won't get angry with anybody, right? So similarly, well, dealing with others also, he will see, knows that if you take others' wealth or others' possessions, and how it is causing disturbances inside, vishamasthiti, right? And therefore he won't take anyone's wealth by any reason. Remember what Krishna said, I began that today. Ahimsa satyam asteyam akama krodha lobhada bhuta prehide vacham dharmoyam sarvavarniga. It's a very important verse in the Bhagavatam, Ekadasya Skandam. Krishna spoke about Brahmana, Brahmana dharmam, Kshatriya dharmam, Vaishya dharmam, Shudra dharmam, everything. Varnashrama dharmam. Varna dharmam he spoke, ashrama dharmam also. Then he spoke about Brahmachari dharmam, Grihastha dharmam, Vanaprastha dharmam, Sannyasi dharmam. Two chapters in the 11th canto. After saying all that, Krishna said, over a period of time, this Varnashrama dharmam will collapse. It won't be there anymore. It's gone. Already it's gone. Isn't it? There's no Varnashrama dharmam anymore. Where is Varnashrama? Probably it's in there in one or two places. Very limited. There is no Varnashrama dharmam in this world anymore. Right? So therefore, Krishna says, because Varnashrama dharmam will go from this world, that doesn't mean that you have to give up the process of self-realization. Self-realization, under all circumstances, one has to pursue. And for that, Krishna says, you require some basic things. And therefore he says, whether you are a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, doesn't matter. At least follow these minimum things. Which one? Ahimsa, Satyam, Asteyam, Akamam, Akrodham, Lobham. And then Buddha Prehade Vacha. These seven things. It is applicable to everybody, no matter who he is, where he is. Dharmoyam Sarvavarniya. No matter who it is, these things apply to him. He should follow that. If he does that, what will happen is that dharma will elevate him, and that will lead into devi vasana inside, and that vasana will help him to chitta shuddhi, and chitta shuddhi will lead into bhakti and to liberation at the end, right? So that's what he's saying here, that he won't get angry anymore, and he will see doing things wrong like that, stealing others' wealth and things like that, right? And he will also notice that while giving it to others, he will find anandam inside, happiness inside, right? Therefore, he will continuously keep giving to others rather than taking from others, right? So this selfishness eventually leads into selflessness. This selfishness eventually leads to selflessness, right? So, and these Mahatmas have got this selfishness. All the great personalities, if you look, you will see this selfishness in them. That they will only talk to you about self-realization and spiritual life. They are not interested in anything else. And you may think that, oh, they are very selfish. No, they know very well that this selfishness is necessary, and therefore they appear in front of others as they are very selfless. Very selfless, right? So what did they do? What they have done is, they did not allow the shandi, that perfection inside, they did not want to lose it. They maintained that at any cost. All the great personalities, if you look, you will see this in them. That they won't allow this shandi inside, that perfection inside, without allowing them to go away, they will conduct their life in this world. And that's what they have done. And that is what Krishna is calling it as yogasthiti. In the yoga state, how to act. And Krishna is calling them as siddha-prajñatvam, siddha-prajña. So only if one has come into that yoga state, he can function in that way. Otherwise, it is not possible, right? So, for this, what is required is, you have to have a lot of power for sangalpa. Sangalpa balam, it is called, right? Or hridaya balam, which is the same. Hridaya balam, sangalpa balam. And that Krishna is saying, you don't have that. And therefore, he calls it as shudram hridaya daurbalyam. Hridaya daurbalyam means weakness of the heart. Not able to make up this decision that for your own welfare, you are not able to make this right decision for you. So, and if that balam, strength is not there, dukkham will come. And that is that third and fourth line he's saying here. Shudram hridaya daurbalyam tektotishta parandava. And he called him as klaibam, klibam, isn't it? Earlier he said klibam. Klaibyam asma gamapartha neidatva yubavadyade. So he says to Arjuna, Arjuna, don't behave like this, neither a man nor a woman, without crying, make this decision, he said. And he told him, uttishta. Klaibyam asma uttishta, shudram hridaya durbalyam tekto, uttishta, get up, he said to Arjuna, parantapa. Right? Uttishta means that realize this, he said, life has got a higher meaning, higher purpose, right? And again, don't fall into this pit of hridaya daurbalyam, right? And that is why you will see this uttishta word a lot in Kathopanishad. Uttishtata jagrada prapyavaran nibodhata. There's a word in the Kathopanishad here. So where is that coming from? Uttishta means what? Not to fall into this trap of weakness of the heart and become attached to the body and thinking that this body is everything, that is weakness of the heart. Instead, wake up from this state and come to this understanding that managing this body is a waste of time, and realize that the body has come, body will go. I have nothing to do with it. Instead, advance on the path of spiritual life and realize the truth, self-realization. So, one who has come out of that situation, he has fallen into this trap. So, therefore, he is saying, uttishtada jagrada, right? Life has a higher purpose. Now, here, when Krishna is talking about that goal, higher purpose, he is not talking about Vaikuntham, he is not talking about Kailasam, he is not talking about Golokam or anywhere. Right here now, while you are in this body, before death happens, he says, you should experience it inside, like the nectar, right? And that realization must happen inside. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Andarupam Amurdam Kadyad Vibhadi, Anandam, Shanti, all these things should be experienced within. And for that, Balam, strength is required, Viryam is required. Unnecessarily, you shouldn't scatter all your energy in other things. That's the advice. Krishna's advice is, don't scatter all the energy what you have got in all useless things and waste it, right? Conserving your energy for that, and that energy what you have, urjam, able to hold it back, and unnecessary karmam, what is not required, don't invest your energy into that. All this is Krishna is saying here, right? Which means what? Which means that you have to come out of this conflict inside. What is the conflict? We all have a conflict inside. Conflict is this, that because of the conflict only, we lose all the energy in our body. Conflict is this. On the one side, you are trying to protect the body and maintain it and keep it going. On the other side, you are trying also for spiritual life. And then inside there is a conflict. Should I look after the body or should I be turned into spiritual life? This is a conflict. It's a conflict. So Krishna is saying to Arjuna, first get out of this conflict inside. As long as you have this conflict, your energy will go in that way, right? So conflict is coming because outside things in this world, what is going on, and due to that, there is a resistance inside to come to spiritual life because of the world, impact of the world on us, right? Because we are living in the world, dealing with the world, and this world is causing the problem. We think that the world is real, just like we think the body is real. Because of this reality, thinking that body and the world is real, all our energy gets scattered in these two things, in the body as well as in the world. And therefore, we are unable to make this decision about what Krishna is talking about. Yeah, so therefore he says, because of this, everything what is happening in the world, you are always finding it difficult. There is a resistance inside. Yeah. And in that resistance, all your energy gets dissipated in that way. And so this one reason why we are weak in spiritual life is due to this. This conflict, what is happening inside us. Even though nobody will tell you that, but we all know that. Every one of us know that there is a conflict inside. On the one side of the world, the body and all our other dealings with the world, it's taking a lot of our energy, isn't it? And we are finding it difficult to leave it. Because for us, it is still reality. And Krishna says, that is your weakness. And you have to come out of that weakness before you can become that strength inside, to conserve the strength inside, right? So, once you lose that energy, Krishna is saying there, the main reason for that is this dvaita chalanam inside, the movement inside. That means outside there is something, inside there is something. That's a conflict. You know what I'm saying, isn't it? Outside world is keeping us busy. And we, for us now, in our decision, world is important, family is important, body is important, money is important. And for some people more than that, position is important, and so many other things. So all these things have become important for us. We are not able to come out of it, and they are still important. But on the other hand, inside we know, we are talking about self-realization and all. We say yes, 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 yes. But actually we are not ready. We are not ready for that. Krishna says this is the conflict in you. Everybody has this conflict. We all have to go through this. So unless you come out of that conflict, Krishna says, you will continuously lose all your spirit energy what you have got in this conflict. In this conflict, you will lose all your energy. That's what the point is making here, right? So, and between this material life and this spiritual realization, there is a conflict, and that fighting is going on all the time inside us. And in that process, all our energy gets wasted and we will become weak. And everyday life, something unhappy things happen in daily life, then you'll think about it whole day, and in the night, thinking about it, you'll go to sleep at the end. So, you see here, what he mentioned, that Kshudram Hridaya Daurbalyam. You know these verses, what Krishna has spoken here? If you analyze it through Upanishads, through Vedantam, you will start seeing a lot of things in this. What Krishna has spoken, just what Vedavyasa has put in the Bhagavad Gita, is in a very summarized form, he said. But what is this Daurbalyam? Weakness of the heart means. What does that mean? It is this. When we say weakness of the heart means this inability or unable to come to terms with these two things. Do I want my material life or do I want self-realization? When I read the Bhagavad Gita, when I hear Bhagavadam and all, I think that self-realization is important. Important, and it should be, we should get it at any cost. It's such a valuable thing. Not to come back here and take another birth and all that. We know that. But as long as we deal with the world, the world has become important. Maintaining the body has become important. So this is the conflict going on in everyone's mind, even devotee's mind. Even in devotee's mind, guru's mind also, in GBC's mind also, this won't go away. To come to this level of acceptance that Krishna is saying, till you have that acceptance, then your spiritual life won't, you are not ready for it. He's saying that again, right? So then Krishna said to him, Tetta Uttishta Parantapa, he said. Parantapa, he used the word there, Parantapa. Parantapa means, it has got two meanings for that word, Parantapa. One who is capable of inflicting severe pain to the enemies. Parantapa, one who can give tap, heating up others. In other words, giving a lot of pain to the enemies while fighting the war, right? Another meaning is one who has performed a lot of penances in life, tapasya. One who has done a lot of tapasya. He is also Parantapa. So Parantapa word has these two connotations. One, it says that one who gives enough, one who can fight the war, one who can fight the war so well that he will put the other side, opposite side, into pain, suffering. And the other one is the where this is one who has performed severe penances, right? For Arjuna's life, if you look back, what happened here? Lord Shiva gave him a famous bow called the Pashupadam, right? And in order to get it, he had to perform very severe penances. Before Mahabharata war, this happened. Arjuna performed severe penances. Pleased with Arjuna, Lord Shiva gave him this Pashupadam, right? So, and to do that, Arjuna was very determined, and he was very strong person that way, very determined and decided to get it, right? So Arjuna has performed a lot of tapasya before. So tapas is not a new thing for Arjuna, right? He's got that strength inside, tapashakti, right? And only thing is, that power for doing tapasya, if it can be turned towards self-realization, atma, towards atma, that's all what is required. So, look at in this world now, many people perform a lot of tapasya, don't they? Like in material life also, people perform a lot of tapasya to become successful, right? You know these scientists, they invent new things. Many great scientists, isn't it, in scientific field, they have new inventions. Well, how do they make it happen? Due to their tapasya. It is tapasya. They work very hard, completely focused on one thing, what they want from their research work and all that. Yeah. So that's all considered to be tapasya. And similarly, people who are working in the industry and all, you will see, some people are very committed to become successful in their career, professional success. They'll work from 6 o'clock in the morning right up to midnight. 12, 18 hours they can work for this purpose, right? So whole life they are willing to give up. That is tapasya. It is tapasya. Only thing is, it's not for self-realization, but it is for becoming successful in their career, right? And whole life they work like that, right? And then what happens? When they retire from work, they have nothing then. They are in trouble, right? Because all their energy, what they had in life, was dissipated in this work. It's gone in the work, right? And all the energy has gone. What they have done is, whatever energy they had, they have invested in their success in material life. It ended up like that, right? So accordingly, their sankalpam is like that. They wanted a success in material life. They got whatever, accordingly they worked in this world, and accordingly they succeeded in their material life. That's all it is, right? But that is also tapas, right? They have got a lot of energy, but if that energy, have they turned it inwards, then it becomes Yoga Shastram. It becomes Yoga Shastram. That is Yoga Shastram. So what is Yoga Shastram? Yoga Shastram is this. The difference between material Shastram, Baudhya Shastram, and Yoga Shastram, the energy that is invested is the same. Whether you invest in Baudhya Shastram, Baudhya Shastram means material advancement, or spiritual life, the energy what you invest in both, it's the same, right? That pranan is the same. So pranan is some energy source inside us. That prana shakti, chittavritti pravaham, all that is in the bhaudiyam, on the material life, if you are able to turn it inwards, then that becomes a spiritual life, right? So if it turn inwards, what will happen? What will happen is, that energy, what you have used in the world outside, if it turns inside, what will happen is, that energy will go back to the source where it came from. Because where does pranan come from? Andaryami. Andaryami is the source of the pranan. What we have done is, that energy what Andaryami has given us, we have gone and abused it in the world outside. Instead of turning it inwards and self-realization, what will happen is, that pranan will go back to its source where it came from, Andaryami, and it will disappear there. So that means that energy goes back to the source where it came from. And that is called Vibharidhi Karanam. And that is called Nivritti Margam. So Pravritti Margam, Nivritti Margam. These two things, right? So so Sannyasam or Sannyasam Ashramam is generally not good enough if you say Nivritti Margam. Pravritti Margam means, what does it mean? Pravritti Margam means Chitravritti, thought waves coming, and all busy with all the other things in this world. So this is a difficult thing. We are now hearing Bhagavad Gita at this stage in life, but this should have gone in long, long ago inside. And only if you had serious at that time, this could happen. Now anyway, when the chittavritti, what is coming inside us in our mind, not allowing the chittavritti to go into the world, instead able to turn it inwards, and if we are succeeded in doing that, chittavritti to turn inside, then it is called pratyaharam. Pratyaharam means that. Yamam, niyamam, asanam, pranayamam, pratyaharam. Pratyaharam means this chittavritti, what is we have got, right? Which is coming because of the pranan is required for that energy. That energy which is allowing this chittavritti to happen, if you allow that to go and work in the world outside, it loses everything. And if you allow that pranan to go inwards and to realize the truth, it will go back to its source where it came from. So Krishna is saying here that in order to get to this stage of pratyaharam, you require a lot of strength in the heart. That's why that Hridaya Dorbalyam Krishna has spoken. You see, Yamaniyamam is not difficult, because Yamaniyamam, you know what it is. Difficult means that at least you can understand what Yamaniyamam means. Remember, we discussed in the 7th canto, Yamam Niyamam, what it means. After that come Asanam. Yamam, Niyamam, Asanam, Pranayamam. That is all the preliminary things in yoga process. And then comes this Pratyahara. Pratyahara means this withdrawing our attention from the world and turning it inwards. And that's the most difficult part. Pratyaharam, right? So, and in order to do that pratyaharam, Krishna is saying, a weak heart cannot do that. Hridaya Dourbalyam, one who has got Hridaya Dourbalyam, he cannot have pratyaharam. You have to be very strong inside to do that, and therefore pratyaharam will not be possible, right? So for that, what is required? The greatest power, he is saying here, that the jiva has to invest his thinking capacity to think about all these things, right? And he should do the research himself, and jiva has to come to this conclusion that I need to go towards the Antaryami. You know, how much can Shastram tell us? Only up to a limit. You remember when Parikshit Maharaj asked Shukabrahmarshi in the Bhagavatam one question, right? He said to him that after hearing from 5 days from Shukabrahmarshi, right, Parikshit started realizing that the importance of spiritual life and self-realization. So he says, when Krishna's pastimes came, he said this, Viryani tasyagile logabhajam andarbahi purusha kala rupaihi itashyado mrutyumradam radamcha maya manushyasa vadasa vidvan. A verse in the first chapter, you'll find this verse. What does that mean? It is exactly what Krishna is saying here. If you turn inwards, immortality, nectar, self-realization. If you go outside, death, destruction. Parikshit realized that. He realized that at this stage. So he is saying to Shukabrahmarshi, Viryani tasyagile logabhajam andarbahi purusha kalaryupai. Inside he is the same power. Inside he is nectar. Outside, immortality is nectar, self-realization. Under bahi, outside he is kalaryupai. In the form of kalam, he destroys you and you die and you lose everything. Same thing what Krishna is saying here is what Parikshit is asking there. Same what we are reading in these verses. So if hridaya daurbalyam, if weakness of the heart means this cannot go on, it is not possible. So Parikshit said this to Shukabrahmarshi, tasya akhila loka bhajam mandar bahi purusha kala rupai. So it is, so jiva, the important thing Krishna is saying to everybody in the Bhagavad Gita, jiva has to make the decision first, what he wants. Do you want death outside or do you want immortality inside? If you have not made this decision, Krishna says, don't waste your time reading Bhagavad Gita. Nothing is going to happen. You can conduct seminars, courses, and go and tell everybody that Bhagavad Gita for personality development, Bhagavad Gita for this, Bhagavad Gita for that. That's all a waste of time as far as Krishna is concerned. The second chapter's whole importance is this, making that decision. I want this spiritual life. I want to realize the truth. Outside world, body is not my priority. I cannot think anymore in those lines, right? So if jiva made this decision, it may look very selfish, but it has to be done, Krishna says. It may look selfish to you, but it has to be done. And without this, he said, any other technique you bring it in, it won't work. No other technique. In this life itself, I want to become free, and I don't want the freedom for the body. I want the freedom for the soul. Soul, I want to realize it. And as far as body is concerned, freedom for the body is not even considered freedom, right? Because freedom from the body, or freedom from the mind, or freedom from the senses will not solve the problem. Yeah, you want shanti, perfection inside, and then anandam, what Krishna is talking about, for that perfection, you want in this life, here, now, if you have decided that, if you ask that question, is that possible in this life, here, now? Krishna says that If you see a lot of things in this world, it will help you to make that decision. You know what that means? If you study the world properly, then it can help you to make that decision. Yeah? That's an important thing. You know, suffering in life. If suffering comes in life, if you are intelligent, you can use that suffering, turn yourself to come to this realization. It's a difficult thing for everybody. When there is no suffering, life is going on reasonably well, money is coming, and plenty of food to eat, good place to sleep, a few holidays in between. It's all not too bad, isn't it? And then you want to have some self-realization also, that won't work. It is not going to happen. Dukha nyalokya jandushu alam udita vivekohama acharya vidya labdhva todrupa tattvam guna charita kada ulbhaval bhakti bhuma. When this part came in Bhagavatam, Melpatur said to Krishna like this. What did he say to him? Dukha nyalokya jandushu alam udita vivekohama acharya vidya. I have learned one thing, he said. He's saying to Krishna, sitting right in front of him, he says to him, Dukha nyalokya jandushu. All living entities in this world are suffering basically. Everybody is suffering here. And I can see that, he said. Melpatur said to Krishna, Dukha nyalokya jandushu alam uditam. And what has it done to me? It created vivekam in me. I have come to the realization from that. Labdhva acharya, and I heard this from the great personalities, acharya, labdhva todrupa tattvam, about you. I understood your importance. Guna charita kada ulbhaval bhakti bhoma, that all this has made me to understand that I have to take your shelter. There is no other way. In other words, I have turned my attention towards you, andaryami, inside. Melpatur said this to Krishna, right? So, if you have a lot of suffering in this world, and that suffering, you have to analyze it with proper discrimination. You have to do that, right? Then, if you do that, what will happen is, little by little, vairagyam will come. Vairagyam will come. So, vairagyam has to come. Vairagyam is not there now. That is the problem. We are very much attached to our material happiness. There is no vairagyam, right? So, Krishna is saying this, that stage has to come. Somehow or the other, you have to get there. And lot of distress comes in life, it helps for vairagyam. That's the advantage of distress. Krishna gives vairagyam to someone so that he can take advantage of that for the distress, right? Krishna put that in the Bhagavad Gita in another way. Tam vidya dukkha samyoga viyogam yoga samidam, he says. In another place, you will notice that. Tam vidya dukkha samyoga viyogam yoga samidam. When dukkham comes, samyoga viyogam happens. That is called yogam, Krishna says here. So what is the reason for the dukkham? Dukkham is happening because of our attachment to them. Things what will give you dukkham, you get attached to it. That's where the dukkham begins. Suppose you are attached to something, and then when you lose it, you feel dukkham. Suppose you are not attached to it, then when you lose it, you won't feel dukkham from that. Isn't it? So basically, dukkham comes due to our attachment only, nothing else, right? And so objects in this world, which you are attached to, they can give you distress. Sometimes we can see people, they have purchased a very expensive car, and they're feeling very happy inside after buying the dream car, they say. What they called it. There are people like that. Very attached to their car, isn't it? And something happened while driving it, got a crash or had an accident and a lot of damage happened. You should see, look at their face at that time. Mm-hmm. It goes completely gone, right? That attachment. So what has happened? Because of his attachment to the car, it gives him so much distress. It has affected him so strongly, right? And he is not able to think further than. What Krishna is saying is that, why do I feel distress? Because of my attachment to the car. If I am able to think like that, and if you are able to give up that attachment, and then you will find shanti inside, samadhanam inside, right? And if you feeling like that with everything in this world, not only car is one thing, but other things as well, in the same way, if you are able to do that, Krishna says it's called yoga. Tam vidya dukkha samyoga vyogam yoga samyidam. One line Krishna has put this whole science behind it. That is Vidya, he says. What is that? Dukkha Samyoga Viyogam Yoga. Dukkha Samyoga Viyogam, which is called causing Dukkham, and you becoming free from that. Vidya. That Vidya. That Vidya which helps you to become free from Samyoga Viyogam. Samyoga means getting attached to something. Viyoga means losing it. From that, if you become free from that, then you are in the yoga state. Otherwise, you are not in the yoga state. Otherwise, you are not in the yoga state. Yeah. So, Krishna is saying that here. giving up means attachment. Giving up attachment means that it is not that you throw away everything in life, but inside, to be careful not to get attached to anybody or anyone or anything in this world, right? Outwardly, it is difficult to give up everything because outwardly, this material existence is such that certain, you need a place to live, you need some food to eat, and to give up everything like that is not possible. Then Krishna is not expecting that, but not to feel any attachment to any of those things. He is saying that, yeah. So, internally, one has to become free from that. And Krishna says that shanti, release, complete freedom, what you feel, that is yogasthiti, right? So, in order that to come, happen, you require these two things, vivekam and vairagyam. That's why that book is given the title, Viveka Chudamani. How vivekam comes to a person. And from Vivekam, Bhartrihari's famous book, Vairagya Shatakam. These two books, if you read, Viveka Chudamani talks about Vivekam, Vairagya Shatakam, 100 verses, Bhartrihari has written about Vairagyam. Vivekam will be followed by Vairagyam. If you don't have Vivekam, if you don't have Vairagyam, spiritual life is not easy. Spiritual life becomes a ritual then. It simply becomes a ritual. So, that's the most important thing, yeah. So, after saying that, Krishna says here, this Vivekam and Vairagyam is like the two wings in a bird. If a bird wants to fly, it needs two wings. One is Vivekam, other one is Vairagyam. If these two wings are very strong, you will fly very high in spiritual life. If these two wings are not there, they are not strong, then you will stay where you are. So, that's the way it is. This is all mandatory requirement in spiritual life. Vivekam, Vairagyam, both. Yeah. So, Vivekam, Vairagyam is like the two wings of a bird, right? just like the birds have got their wings to fly, for the jiva, Vivekam and Vairagyam are the two wings to fly towards self-realization. These two wings, Vivekam, Vairagyam, right? So, and that situation, when they are strong, then dukkham will become a yogam. So, vishamam will become yogam. Hridaya daurbalyam become balam. And then there is a lot of discussion about that. The main reason for the distress, now let me explain this. You remember, in bhakti, we have different navadha bhakti. Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, padasevanam, archanam. 9 processes, right? Similarly, in bhakti also, there is different levels of what they call it as bhumika. Bhumika means different steps. Anartha nivritti. There's a verse there, isn't it? Which says, Rupa Goswami says this in the, how you progress in bhakti. Nishta, premam, asakti, ruchi. All these are different levels of bhakti stages, right? In the similar way, in Jnanamargam also, when one makes progress in spiritual path, he goes through different levels, different stages. And out of that, the first stage is called Shubhecha. There are 6 stages. The first one is called Shubhecha. That Shubhecha is this stage. When you have got Vivekam and Vairagyam. That is the first thing. It is called the Shubhecha. So, in Vedantam, this is called the first Bhumika. Bhumika means the first level where you start, first stage, right? Which means
Jiva decides this, I have seen enough of this world, and I had enough of it, and I want to become free. I want to realize the truth. That decision-making stage, that's called the Shubhecha. There is more to come. Tanumanasi, there is a few things after this, different Shubhecha, after Tanumanasi and all that. Yeah. So, for a jiva, while he makes this decision, it's a very important step in his life, when he makes a decision, right? He has seen enough of life, and it is a very important stage in his life, this decision-making stage, right? And sometimes you can see in people, they have come to the age of 90 and 95, and still this is not coming to them. This decision has not come to them. If you observe people in the society, you will see that, right? They will still go and sit in front of the TV, and they will have the chanting beads in the hand, and they will be watching the telly at the same time, right? So, television is considered to be Mahishasura. His name is Mahishasura in Sanskrit. Television is Mahishasura. Right? He'll go and watch the telly, and he'll be chanting the holy name also. He is not ready for spiritual life. Such people, right? So, what happens is, whatever you have seen in the television, it has gone into your bhavamandalam, and in the night when you sleep, it comes in the dream, things what you have seen, right? So, the sad thing is that in your bhavana logam, bhavana mandalam, all these things, all these characters will come and take control of that. You will start seeing them in the dreams, right? So, so these things, Krishna says that if it becomes continuous like that, then your dhyanam, meditation, will be on that, become very firm on that. Suppose I have completely involved in the world throughout life, and the world has gone inside me so much, at the time of death, that will bring all my impressions inside, in front of me, at the time of death, right? And that is what Krishna is saying to us. Yam yam vavismaran bhavam tejatyande kalebharam tam tam evedi kaundeya sada tadbhava bhavita. If you analyze that verse, what Krishna is pointing out to us is, if you have invested all your energy in life in this world, in politics, in business, and whatever it is, if you have done that, that's all gone inside you. Every karmam creates an impression, vasana, inside. And that is there inside us. And at the time of death, all of them, what you have collected in the whole life, will come one after the other in front of you. You remember those two verses, don't you? Andhakaleja mameva smaran tektva kaleparam yaprayadi samal bhavam yadi nastyatra samshaya, he said. So those two verses are pointing out to that. So according to the impressions what you have collected like this, at the time of death, from that, one of them, which is most powerful, will come on the top of everything else. After the many sankalpam you had in this world, with the different things, what has gone inside, because you know very well there are so many impressions inside, is it not? Out of those many impressions, they will come out at the time of death, one on top of the other. But whichever is the most powerful out of all that, will come on the top of everything else, right? And that sankalpam, whatever that is, that along with the help of pranam inside, it will take us into the next body, based on that sankalpam. The sankalpam will come inside us at the time of death, and you won't be able to say to anybody anything. Outside people won't know it. Just because some people outside chanted Hare Krishna doesn't mean that you will go back to Godhead. It's not. You are not going to get liberated. What is happening inside will make the decision. Not who chanted outside is not going to make the decisions, right? So that is why this sankalpam is such an important thing. And therefore, that is why Krishna is saying that if you have not made this decision now, Don't expect that anything else is going to happen at the time of death. Nothing will happen. All what will happen is, all the sankalpam inside will come up at the time of death, and the most powerful one will come on the top, and the pranan will take that sankalpam and goes into the next body. So, in this situation, we have to be very, very alert on these things, right? So, liberation is concerned, Krishna told us before, if you have not made this decision, Krishna says, your spiritual life is not going to go very far. And that is why he said that verse. Remember? Uddharedalpanalpanam. It's a very important verse. And when you read Bhagavad Gita, that verse, it has affected so many people. Uddharedalpanalpanam. Alpanam osadaya. Alpanyayu alpanyo bandhu. Alpanyayuparipiralpana. All Krishna is saying is that if you have not taken that seriously, then don't waste your time. Study. Bhagavad Gita is not for studying a course or a seminar or anything. Bhagavad Gita is for this inside change to happen. We'll discuss it next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.